The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boom!
Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. It's Tuesday at that Gillette Stadium.
That was a little louder.
What?
All right than I'm used to.
No, I think
well,
you
it's
just
a very
had the level
special off-season. All right.
He stops me right in the middle of the opening.
And you were
to tell me that
too.
He's not doing his job.
And you were reading right off the script too. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Anyway, we're all here and we're ready to talk football as we do in every special off-season show.
Most.
Keeping the flame keeping the flame alive.
Obligatory.
No, it's
reference
true.
To football.
We talk about football for every show.
Some portion.
Right. Yes. Right.
The very
some
beginning,
portion,
at least.
Some portion of every
until our lowbrow right. listeners take us in another direction.
The
yeah.
flame
yeah,
burns.
It's their fault.
Like the cock in.
The football flame burns at Gillette Stadium. We will not let it go out.
The no. cockle gobbler.
We're going to keep it going. And you can join us until 2 o'clock today. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And the big news yesterday is actually football news. Drew Bledsoe, officially.
Oh.
Officially.
I was thinking about the bigger news.
Oh, the implant site?
The lockout.
No, the lockout.
We'll get to that. But the biggest news.
And how is a guy going into Hall of Fame? Actual football news. His career has been over 5 years. That's why he's going into Hall of Fame.
Drew Bledsoe
was
officially
over for about 10.
Inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame via the fan vote. You know, everybody nowadays, when things like this happen in their Twitter, they have to say, no surprise. Why is it so important for people to let everyone know that they're not surprised?
More importantly, Fred, why is it necessary for us to have two conference calls with the nominee and then
I'll
the eventual elector when the exact same questions are asked to
well,
the person
in both? Well, that was embarrassing,
to
be honest with you. That
conference
was,
calls.
I walked into Stacey James's office afterwards. I go, we might as well just reprint the transcript from the first one. I blame the media. I blame the media because the media was there for that one when
yeah,
he was inducted.
Right.
And they also talked to Parcells. Why not come with some different questions?
Like what?
Whatever.
I tried to ask a question,
you know,
as I told you, and I couldn't because my
I think
phone
did
line
ask
wasn't working.
A good question. Now they're inducted. Have you thought about what you're going to say?
Right.
You know,
that was a good question.
Things like
well,
that.
That's different.
I was going to
yeah,
ask
that
him.
That is different.
I was gonna,
that's all you got.
No, I was going to ask him if he felt, now that he got into this Hall of Fame, did he feel like he has any possibility of getting into that other Hall of Fame in Ohio.
No chance.
Yeah, I wouldn't have asked that.
Why?
Because you're putting a guy in a spot. Yeah, I do. I mean, you don't, you know, how can you say that?
Why not?
I just wouldn't.
Everybody's thinking it.
I know I wouldn't ever
Everybody is thinking
that
it.
Question.
Are you not thinking it?
No.
You're not thinking that
I don't think he's got a shot in hell to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
But no. You're not thinking about it? The fact that he gets into one Hall of Fame.
I just told you no. I'm not thinking about it.
And you don't think anybody else is.
Listen, Scalavino, you asshat.
To be fair, Ben Coates talked about it back when he said he talked about he thinks he's a worthy candidate
right,
and all that crap.
That's right.
Well, I can barely hear you.
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
You going
so now he put me down.
You're going in and out. I can't hear you.
Kevin's playing with the...
trying to fix it.
It's unbelievable.
Now it's better. Well, no, he was super hot to start the show. Like
he was never super hot.
You know, it's not your fault. Don't worry about it.
No, no, no.
Doc doesn't let him touch the board.
Probably is my fault.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
So, all right.
Better now.
So now the big news of the day yesterday.
Okay.
I don't know how you quantify these things, but I was going to say the lockout continues.
Yes. Yeah, well, officially.
A stay until
the appeals process is
I'm sure somebody will say, no surprise, but anyway.
Who's this somebody you're referring to? Put names with these Twitter faces.
A lot of people on
like
Twitter.
Who? I want names.
I'll have to go back and look, but I just, you know, whenever these things come out, people feel obligated to let everyone know that they weren't surprised.
I think that's not
your job is to know what your reaction. Your job is to put forth the news, not how do you feel about it.
Well,
unless
Twitter is not exactly. I mean,
I know
Twitter is used as social networking, so there's a social aspect to it, a back and forth. But
there shouldn't be though. It should be just news dissemination.
Right.
It's not true either, Eric.
It depends on who your audience is and what you're on there for. But I just think, you know, all these news reporters have to make sure everyone knows that they weren't surprised at news.
It's just turned into a PR service.
Well, then you ripped Bill Burt, but you should give him credit. He was stunned that there was an upset, and you ripped him for being so they can't win with you.
Well, Bill Burt from the Lawrence Eagle Tribune writes that he
in
feels
some valley,
Bledsoe
valley,
beating Parcells in this fan voting was an upset. I don't know where he arrives at that conclusion.
It was an upset in his mind, obviously.
I don't know where he arrived.
But you should
that
give
conclusion.
Him credit for that because you're ripping the people who said they're not surprised that Bledsoe got in, but you're also criticizing the guy who said,
I'm
stunned.
I'm just saying you give the news. If you are stunned, that's okay. You know, there's a reason to say that because, you know, you genuinely are surprised. But there's no reason to say when you're not surprised, you know, that's not newsworthy. Anyway,
basically, the show has not yet been 10 minutes old, and it seems clear to me that Fred has an anti-media agenda
to grind.
Don't get me wrong, I love it.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to do that, let's get to Peter King then, who criticizes in his Monday Morning Quarterback column Ocho Cinco for all the me-first self-promotion crap, including of late the bull riding and all this.
Pot? Kettle.
Yet that very Monday Morning Quarterback column started with five paragraphs on, I'm still reeling from the call I got from some guy who named me the National Sportscaster of the Year and trying to place myself.
Unbelievable.
So you're ripping Ocho Cinco because he's a self-promoter and it's all about him, yet your supposed NFL football, column.
All right.
Well, you need a break.
This pisses me off that some a-hole, and I'm going to say it. I mean, that's so... Peter King is the ultimate me guy, or one of them. Michael Silver might be the ultimate, but Peter King is second on the list, and he's criticizing T.O. for doing the same thing. And T.O.'s been far more productive. I mean, Ocho Cinco. Same. Ocho Cinco's been far more productive in his career than Peter King has in his.
Well, I don't know about that.
I do.
I think
every time I see Peter King, he's printing a retraction. I have Andy Reid quoted saying that we have to continue our streak for, I'm going to print a retraction. There was no trade streak, but it made for a good story.
Well, I think that when you look
I want the facts from you if you're going to print these irresponsible journalism.
Peter King here.
And then these quotes. He's always quoting somebody. I had to retract the quote, the commissioner,
none,
the Goodell.
And I was going to say none more egregious
than the
But
that's not
the
first time. He has, like, coaches that say, I didn't say that.
But when you look at the volume of stuff he's done, I mean, you have to take into context.
But don't you wonder?
He has had
Don't you automatically wonder how many of those that we don't know about?
Right.
No, but when you...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Paul's worked here for over a decade. Yeah, how many times has he had to print a retraction?
Hold on.
I've only written one thing that I ever regretted.
Well, listen. The nature of the job of whether it's him or Mortensen or Schefter, they're supposed to be NFL insiders where they break news, that type of thing. You're going to be wrong. a certain amount of
time.
Not
about wrong. I'm talking about inaccurate.
Yeah, the next time that Adam Schefter or Jay Glazer prints a retraction because they were flat out wrong will be the first I've ever seen.
And I'm not talking
seen those guys be wrong.
I'm not talking like about being a national guy saying that so-and-so is going to sign with the Chargers and he ends up signing with the Eagles. I'm talking about he made errors in reporting, like misquoting the commissioner and things like that. I automatically wonder, this is a guy who went from a Giants beat writer in Newark back in the 80s to perhaps the most prominent national guy. How many of those corners did he cut along the way that we never knew about?
Right.
That enhanced his stories. That's what I automatically.
But even that's a separate.
He's on steroids now.
If he's doing it.
But I mean, he's the ultimate self promoter, and he's criticizing somebody for being. He goes to these Matt Light things. He's always signing autographs.
No, that's legit. That's legit.
And his whole column is built on my coffee nerdness fact of the week.
That criticism.
And my travel nerdness fact. It's all about you.
Yeah.
Let me know when it actually is about the NFL again, Pete.
And the column is what, 57 pages long every Monday?
Ugh.
You can trim that down a little bit. You don't need to put down every single thought you have about every single thing in the world. Calm down, a-hole.
Well, now we're calling him an a-hole?
Well.
Come on.
Well, I also like...
All right, DB.
He's a good guy.
Getting back to... He
actually has been on this show. We should rein it in a little. DB, not a-hole.
Getting back to the Ocho Cinco part of it, and he says the Patriots are going to... He's going to wind up with the Patriots when it's all said and done. Again... Listening to local talk radio, and it's amazing to me how many times people around here make the same mistakes about painting Bill Belichick into a corner and about things that he will and won't do. That's not going to happen, said John Dennis this morning. He's just not going to deal with that stuff, not going to deal with the tweeting, not going to deal with the headaches. And I'm thinking, first of all, I can't go on Twitter without reading some sort of tweet from a Patriots player.
Some of them questionable.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Including a Pro Bowl safety, who, by the way, Fred,
Pro Bowl in air quotes,
was picked up by the local radio station this morning. They were talking about his tweets over the weekend, which were utterly inappropriate.
Not smart. You're talking about Brandon Merriweather.
And tweeting. It's out there now. So tweeting that
drunk.
I'm at home getting effed up and going playing shot for shot and doing games.
But
and,
I'm not even talking about those kinds of tweets, which I totally agree can do no help at all. The only harm. I'm talking about regular. Devin McCourty is on there all the time. Doesn't have anything.
But you never know if it's him or
doesn't have anything controversial to say. So let's stop in with this nonsense that Bill Belichick is going to not take him
because
he tweets.
Of that. Yeah, that's right.
I know that, you know, that seems to be a popular opinion, but there's plenty of guys that have embraced the social media on the Patriots that it's not a problem. It's just a new thing to be concerned about. It's another thing that the coaches have to worry about.
You just have to know the parameters. That's all. And stick with them.
And supposedly they addressed that with some of their draft picks when they found, not draft picks, prospects.
Yeah.
Talked to various people and said, you know, do you really need to be focused so much on tweeting and all this crap?
Right. And, of course, we'll talk later about In Plain Sight, John and L.A.'s show Sunday night. Featured a lot of our names and references. It was a great show, and I promised to give away a Bledsoe rep, not Bledsoe, a Brady. I could give away a Bledsoe.
Could give one. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
A Brady replica jersey, and I will do that. And here's how we'll do it, I think. At some point, if John and LA is listening, he's going to have to give us an answer key.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of the show, we're not going to talk about the references because that'll help people. If you wait till the end of the show, you'll
right.
just. So we're not going to talk about what the references were, but email us in all the references that you heard. Whether it's PFW in progress or movies, John is going to include movies. Email them in, and then at the end of the show, we'll get John and LA's answer key. Dingleberry in the booth will match them up, and on Thursday, we'll announce the winner.
I'm going to need you to be more clear. Is that going to be Doc or Kevin?
There are two people in the booth.
Well, there's Dingle and there's Berry.
I usually go with Dippin'.
So on Thursday we'll
what Paul calls
we'll,
the Jets.
We'll announce the winner. But In Plain Sight, it was great. It was great fun.
It was
to watch and listen. And it's weird when you watch a show that way, you watch it in a whole different.
Oh,
like,
I totally
it changes
did.
How
I
the
totally
show.
Did.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I kept pausing to write down things that I was keeping track of.
It changes the whole way you
rewinding.
Watch it. So that was good. So what were we talking about before? Oh, the other thing that we haven't talked about yet was the Eighth Circuit ruling. That the stay, they ruled on the temporary stay, that the stay will stay. So there is no lockout. There is
a lockout.
up until June 3rd when they're going to have another hearing.
It'll continue through that. It's going to continue through the appeals process.
Yeah.
When the appeal is final, the hearing is June 3rd. Then the panel has to decide on that, and that could take a couple of weeks.
They're saying 4 to 6 weeks from June 3rd.
Yeah, but I have an optimistic feeling.
Oh, great.
You told us the lockout was not going to happen or was out.
No. I always thought there'd be a lockout, but I never thought it would affect camps, which right now it has already.
Yeah.
Basically.
It has.
It's affected rookie camp and, you know.
Off-season conditioning OTAs. Programs,
now I'll say
OTAs.
Maybe it won't affect mandatory mini camps, but.
It's going to. Yeah, that's usually the first week of June.
I think it's all but guaranteed to affect mini camp. Training camp is the next one right now.
And even Bill said that.
Everyone's saying that. Close
the door and all the other stuff.
Everyone's saying that nothing will happen and they're all going to wait for this, you know, hearing on the 3rd and then the ruling. Mm. But something could happen.
Well, they could come to a deal. They
the
could agree to a deal.
The league has given them another deal. They've given them another proposal just yesterday.
But a very loose one, right?
Yeah, because Arthur Boylan said to the league, come up with a new proposal and give it to the players.
From what I read,
it was a very vague kind of like bullet point proposal. It wasn't.
Well, a lot of it's based on probably the last proposal they had. So probably a lot of it didn't have to be restated.
Right.
But maybe there were some additions or whatever. But the fact that DeMora Smith hasn't come out yet and said this is ridiculous, this new proposal, to me is optimistic that they're actually reading it and looking at it and considering it, you know?
Sure, I see what you're saying.
Either that or they're both just waiting for June 3rd for it to be official.
I think the other side of it is he's just not reading it. He doesn't even think it's worth it.
Exactly. Well, it's not worth the paper it's written on.
That's just poor to me.
I don't see any way that it.
Well, but what if the proposal isn't worth the paper it's written on?
Well, then say something. You know, but I.
Why? You're going to make fun of him if he says something.
But I think the first proposal that they gave at the last was worth something. And if it's based on that, it's worth negotiating over. I'm not saying you accept it face value.
But they didn't think it was worth much. The players, obviously.
I think that they felt that there was stuff left out, but they didn't criticize the stuff that was in it.
But you people have just done nothing but criticize these people for commenting on this. You know, the gross exaggerations both ways, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Both ways. The players certainly guilty of gross exaggerations of how little is in there for them.
It's the worst deal in the history of sports.
Worst deal in the history of sports and all that stuff. So there's been I'm with Andy. I don't think there's any chance that anything happens before June 3rd.
Yeah.
And then at June 3rd, when the appeal is actually heard, it's probably a good chance
then you have
that
to wait a couple more weeks.
I mean, they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Mm. I mean, I would say a minimum of three before anything
happens.
Here's
another reason why I see a little sliver of light. The wording in the ruling that they had was strongly in favor of the owners. Strongly in favor.
They sort of tipped their hand, I think.
Right. So if the players look at that, they might say, okay, you know, we're going to end up losing in this next round. Maybe, you know, now we come to the table. And I think Michael Silver, I agree with what he said. It might have been this morning or last night. He said the only way this thing is going to get solved before games are lost is if the side that has the leverage agrees to be a little conciliatory. Right now, the owners, I think, have the leverage. And if they can bend just a little, I think we can get something done.
And you are optimistic that they will? Because
I
am not.
I see a little sliver of
I agree with your whole scenario. I just don't see any bending.
I don't either.
What did you
think? On either side, by the way, again. The players are not blameless.
I hear you.
What did you think of Irsay's tweets yesterday? Did you read them?
One
of them was
about Jeff Saturday. And
Jeff Saturday and I could sit down at some restaurant and have this done over dinner. I mean, very much we should get this done. There was a couple saying,
what I need is
I've
Jeff Saturday to say
he wanted
the same
fines.
Thing.
Oh,
I've
he
had
wanted
enough.
Any fines after June 3rd. He wants every day both sides to be fined significantly to their favorite charities. It would have to be paid out.
Yeah, but see, that
but to me, it sounds like an owner who's cracking. To me, that's the same as Antonio Cromartie saying X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
It's frustration building with the owners. They just want to get it done in some group. I don't know if it's just him, if it's him and four others, him and 10 others.
I think there might be a handful of owners that say, screw them. We're going to get what we want or else. You know?
Yeah. No. I know there's those, but those I've thought have existed all along. The question is, how many Irsays are there that just want to get a deal done?
Yeah, hopefully there's more of them.
And that's what matters. You need to have, 24 of them.
Like I said, and it's a big if, and you guys might be right, maybe there is no bending, but if at this point the league can say, look, we're going to win June 3rd, but hey, in the name of partnership, which I know this is not even close to being. We're going to bend on this critical point, whatever that point might be. I think maybe that could be enough to get them back at the table.
Now, are you sure the owners have the leverage right now?
Yeah, I do, because now the leverage that the players had was decertifying, and you can't lock out a decert. But
right.
The fact that the owners right now legally can say there's not going to be a season.
But I also think that there's some leverage on the side of the player. I feel like, to some degree, some of the wording was almost what you talked about, the court saying, get this done. And
right.
To date, the leverage had been on the side of the players between Doty and Nelson. Very, very strongly on the side of the players. Now I feel like it balanced out with this three-judge panel.
And isn't this the time to
two, technically.
That's kind of my point. Isn't this the time, then, with the leverage kind of...
But if I'm the players, I say, no, you don't have as much leverage as you think, and...
It could force them to dig their heels in even further.
Yeah.
Because they, like Andy
said, I'll go down the road of trying to get the money from TV and do all this other stuff. If you really want to dig in, I'll dig in too. But,
and
you got your judges, I got my judges.
That's what I think is happening.
What will happen, but like I said, if at this point, and I'm calling the owner's side, if the owners showed a little conciliation, I think, instead of using that leverage to dig their heels
maybe.
In more, I think it'd be enough, I hope. You know, unless the players are everything the owner said and they care not about doing a deal.
I think you're right, Fred, in saying that if the owners were to give a little, that might help. I just don't think they're going to give a little.
Yeah, I don't really either.
I don't think there are enough of them that want
but
to give a little.
If there was a time where just a little bit could go a long way, I think this is it right now.
You're probably right about that.
I think this is it right now.
We should also talk about the, again, I think it was in Peter King, portions of it, from Chris Collinsworth. He believes November will be football. That's right. When you'll get back to football. And there was, between he and King, a discussion that some owners just want to blow it up. You know, the theory that Jerry Jones is fine with a $250 million payroll, and Mike Brown might even be fine with no floor. And I can just be, everybody, by the way, says Kansas City Royals. I would be really mad if I were a Kansas City Royals employee, because they're always the team that's thrown out there as the bottom of the
rung. Well,
I
think them and the Minnesota Twins under Carl Pohlad, they've been the two that have been accused of having the money,
pocketing
more so
revenue sharing money
and not
stuff.
Spending
yeah.
it.
But you know, I think.
But if that's true, if there's really guys at both ends, because we always say Jerry Jones, he just wants to be George Steinbrenner, spend what he wants, win what he wants, do what he wants.
Right.
But if there literally are also guys on the other end,
right.
Mike Brown,
well, that's
and
the beauty of the NFL system. Who were the two teams in the Super Bowl this year?
Packers Steelers.
Could you imagine the Brewers and the Pirates in Major League Baseball World Series?
Nope.
Ain't gonna happen.
Well, I just saw Tampa Bay in it.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, the Pirates and Brewers.
Marlins have won twice.
But the Packers are always, you know, they can compete every year. You know,
right?
That's the beauty of the NFL is that. Look, I know that it's like 10 teams that are always, you know, on top, but it's not because of economic reasons. You know?
I agree. I think the economic reasons of baseball, I think, are largely overblown.
Well,
I think if you spend a lot of money, you're almost guaranteed to be good.
But
if you don't spend money and you're good, it's not a reason to say we can't win.
But you kind of have to catch lightning in a bottle more so than in
the
NFL.
It happens all the time.
You know, more so than in the NFL. And if they blow up the system that they have in the NFL, it'd be the worst thing ever because they've got a good system.
Yeah,
Well, then why are they both claiming it's not a good system?
There's a lot of teams
it's
that
not
are
the
at the
system
bottom.
They're arguing about it.
They
it's
are,
just the share. It's the share.
They're arguing about the system, too. Andy's got this right.
Yeah.
If you
I don't even know what I'm saying.
If you those, I think that you're saying that there's some owners that are willing to blow this up
yes.
for the better good for them.
Yes.
It doesn't mean they're right, Fred. I think what you said is right,
right.
in terms of the system. But they
right.
want
right.
they want to blow this up. That's why hockey ended. That's why basketball ended. That's why basketball's going to end
but
again.
But hockey wanted
because
to get to
owners,
where the NFL was. They wanted to get a salary
but my
cap.
Point is they're willing to sacrifice in the short term for the long term. That's why I don't think they'll bend. They don't think they're wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they will bend just to get football back in September.
Right. Even though
think
we think of the season as long term, that's
short
term for them.
Yeah.
A
right.
season or half a season or whatever
right.
to go 10, 20 years of the model they
There's
want
There's a lot
place.
Of teams that are having to spend that floor of the salary cap that feel like they can't do that.
Right.
But now,
so the system is fine.
Well, we talked about that. That's owners versus owners, really, that have to figure that out.
And that's why they're not going to bend, because they're not all on board.
Right. But the Chris Collinsworth, Peter King discussion went even further to include draft, free agency being blown up, and TV contracts. No longer are you signing an NFL contract. You're CBS, and you're signing, like Notre Dame has a deal with NBC, you're signing to have the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys make $500 million in TV, and the Bengals make
the rich will just
20,
get richer.
Or what have you. So,
right. That's bad.
Well, it depends who you are. Yeah. Right?
Right, but it's bad for the collective good.
Which, if the owners truly, if that's what they're looking for, and that's what they've said, to grow the game, right. The collective good, we're partners, all that, if that's truly what they're doing, then you can't listen to Jerry Jones or Mike Brown if they're arguing, blow this crap up so we can all act as our own. You can't listen to them.
That's right.
Because I agree with you. The collective good is salary cap, unity in contracts, unity and all that. So you
they
can't
just have to figure out a way to make to bring the bottom guys up a little bit, you know, so that the top guys aren't just, you know, it's not a welfare state.
I think it gets back to what we've said all along. Once the owners get theirs figured out, it might be a better issue. I still think there's a disagreement between the owners as to what the goal is here, how the system they want, everything. I think they're not all on the same page.
And that's the part that I said, you know, I understand what you're saying about the system, Freddie, is right, and it's probably best for everybody. But Andy's point about these guys are not willing to spend that money, and that's why I don't see them bending. And the appeal that's being heard on June 3rd, is the appeal, the original NFL appeal, the owner's appeal.
Right. Yes,
correct.
That's right. Yes.
So the players, I don't really think, have lost a whole lot of leverage.
No, but
they still have to go
and
get this.
They're going
to
lose it.
It sounds like they're going to lose it. Right. It's probably the same three, so it's two probably to one. End it's up. Probably going to vote.
But I mean now. So I don't see them saying, let's not dig our heels in for anything now. They'll wait it out.
Exactly. Right.
You know, what do they have to lose?
Which is why everybody said that the mediation this week was a farce. Because until
it's
June 3rd.
It's a sham.
Yes, a sham. Sham wow, like the trade they made with the Eagles on draft weekend.
And we've come full circle.
Yes.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Did it for half an hour.
I actually had something else football related. I can't remember it now.
The NFL Network thing?
Oh, no. Well, yes, but no. We'll get to that later. That's a separate rant. Some interesting comments I thought in the Boston. Do I sound funny?
Yes.
Do I really?
Yeah, but that's just you.
His stream of consciousness is unbelievable.
Interesting comments from head coach Bill Belichick, New England Patriots, in the Boston Herald this morning with Ian Rappaport, also known as the Rap Sheet, if you want to follow him on Twitter. You probably already do.
Also known as Jackaport.
Crack Sheet.
Jackaport?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's a contraction of Jackass and Rappaport.
So it's like clicker?
Yeah.
Easy.
Which is a contraction. All right,
all right, all right. Let's just say it's the inn in England.
Can you get to the
A-hole?
And liquor. A-hole. It's not really a contraction if you don't contract one of the words, is it?
Can you
just,
please?
Just get to your point.
Because I thought it was something else. I thought it was sea liquor.
Oh, my God.
Where Bill Belichick talked about, he's basically moved on from offseason program, OTAs, all that. He's now planning training camp because that's the realistic possibility on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they will not have as much teaching time. The playbook will not be as expansive this year. There'll be less time to install things. And I think everybody says, oh, well, teams like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to have an advantage, right? I disagree. How many times have we said the Patriots' biggest advantage is Bill Belichick? The coaching, the system, the scheme.
Preparation.
Well, if you're losing some of that, and we're going to get to football where it's just athlete versus athlete, I'm not sure Rob Ninkovich measures up with some other. You know what I mean? I think if it's just pure physical talent on the field, Brady will be fine. The offense may be fine. Defensively, I'm as concerned as hell.
You know what? You know what
you
it reminds
could be right,
me
right, but I think that teams that have continuity have, you know, and we'll have to see how this plays out. But I would bet that they might have, if there's any advantage to have, they would have it.
Oh, but my point is, if they just play schoolyard football, if it's just roll the ball out there and the best athletes are going to win, I'm not sure the Patriots win.
No, I do.
But they're not going to do that.
Freddie's right.
they're admitting there's going to be a limitation on schemes.
You might have to do it.
And coaching and all that, right?
Mm.
The teams with continuity will have an advantage, but the teams with more talented continuity
might have an advantage sooner.
Athletic continuity.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, just play ball.
Now, the teams with new coaches are going to have a really, really hard time. More so than normal. No question.
No, but I'm talking
about. But there's a lot of teams, Fred, that don't have new coaches.
How about the Jets?
That do have continuity.
Who do you think benefits
more
from coaching, the Patriots or the Jets?
I would say the Patriots.
Right. Who do you think is more physically talented, the Patriots or the Jets?
No, he's going to say the Patriots, even. Too. But anyway,
is that they have the, like, Santonio Holmes is just an athlete, maybe, or you think Sean Green's just an athlete or whatever, the guys on defense, they may have an advantage because they're just going to play ball.
Yeah, I mean, if the huddles are just go out, then, yeah, the most talented team will
win. You
know
I'm being extreme, but you're losing some of the advantage you had in Bill Belichick's coaching, scheme, preparation, no stone unturned in training camp.
Yeah,
and that's a time-consuming process.
Even for a guy like we were talking in the office about Eric Moore, guy who came in late last year.
Two sacks in four games.
He could really
he could have really have used help in the off-season program, because what he did in December was just based on his athletic ability and his instincts. And if he got a little coaching in this scheme and who knows what he could develop into, but this, unfortunately, in this offseason, he hasn't been able
to
get that.
And there's going to be a lot of those players on all teams.
Oh, yeah.
There's no advantage.
Taylor Price.
There's a lot of teams. There's no advantage to be had because a lot of teams are going to have young guys who haven't done much or looking to, you know, could use that big jump. But I think Andy's
point. Year two jump?
Yeah.
I didn't know which year you were referring to because you generally go with five sometimes as well.
It definitely does not
the Rob Ninkovich year six job.
New coaching staffs.
The new coaches are the worst off, but I think that Andy's point is if you've read anything about this topic anywhere, universally the Patriots are considered to be in the best shape because of their preparation and their because of Belichick. And I think that some of those advantages are lessened in this situation. Not accentuated.
Well, logically you could say the less time Belichick gets to spend with his players, the less effect he can
But it'll affect the Patriots more than it'll affect the Jets.
Because he's right.
Because I generally assume that Rex Ryan has limited.
Right, because
I don't think he's that great of a tactician.
They actually listen to
But
Belichick.
He collected talent.
I think
he still has time to yell and scream and it's going to get a goddamn snap.
I think he's a good coach. I don't necessarily think he's a great tactician.
Right.
Like Belichick. Belichick is both.
Although apparently he's using his bucket list of rainy day projects, and they're going to have all kinds of things to pull out of their sleeve.
What do you mean?
Supposedly has always had this list of things he writes down during the year that he doesn't have time to get to, and they're doing them all. Projects, ideas. One of them was he wanted to bring in as many assistant coaches from other teams or whatever as possible, and he brought in Tom Moore
to talk,
and that's one of the examples of just trying to get glean as much as he can from anybody he can in any
really other assistants.
Well, I don't know.
He's not employed.
Yeah,
he's gone from the Colts. But I thought about this topic yesterday. I was watching something on NFL Network and it had top 10 innovations, football innovations. It was like the 3-4 defense,
pass.
The zone blitz, and one of the things
3-4 defense. Who'd they give that to? Bud Wilkins.
I don't really recall, but
that was his favorite word. If you ever read his book, it says pissant about 6,000 times.
They were talking about a lot of that different stuff, and one of the things they were talking about the Wildcat. You know, they have other things that didn't necessarily make the cut, and they were showing highlights of Miami that they when they decimated us. That's an example when just players were out playing. There was no preparation, and players were just playing. It wasn't tricks. It was just lining up, and their players were doing something the Patriots weren't ready for. And you saw how different it was handled every time the Patriots have seen that since. They've completely shut it down because they've been prepared for it. They weren't prepared that day. And that could happen more so this year, I think, than in other years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you got there?
Sweet potato fries?
I don't want sweet potato fries.
I'll take them if you don't want them.
Playing the role of Jackson Hart. I don't want sweet potato fries.
Well, who would want them?
You don't like sweet potato fries?
Ugh.
And why did you have just...
I'll take them.
What is it, like
steaks?
It's supposed to be a steak tip dinner.
Tastes like Sal Palantonio?
It tastes like ace.
It looks like you just got the tips. Tips. Who's the young kid behind the glass right now?
All right.
We're taking a short break.
I feel like I shouldn't be saying certain things now.
Webradio at patriots.com.
Are you of age? What age are you?
298-0398.
I can't
17.
Why don't you show me with your hands?
17.
10.
10.
Hotline.
Now he can't figure
16.
It out.
16.
Oh, brother. Ooh, I better reel it in a little.
Scott from Jersey writes in. He says, I've been a loyal listener to the podcast for 3 years and a subscriber to the paper for longer than that. I always appreciated what you do, but never more so than now for two reasons. One, without football to cover, you still entertain. And two, after listening to Inside the Draft Room with Brian Lowe, I know now how bad an hour of radio can be. So we won't go on for that. He just kills Brian Lowe. Brian Lowe doesn't have you know, people to play off of.
Or yeah. a personality.
No. Let's.
You know what I was thinking about, Paul?
Why do you have to be so mean?
I don't know.
Okay, what were you thinking about it?
We did those things with Patriots today, like every week leading up to the draft, different positions, and we did a mock draft. Shouldn't we have done like a wrap-up show post-draft? Like where he – kind of the same thing we did when we did the mock draft and like have a little panel.
Oh, Patriots Today, you're saying?
Yeah, like –
Yeah, like we did.
Yeah.
Like we had a final podcast
right.
after the draft.
Shouldn't we have kind of wrapped it all up?
Kevin, was that mine? Kevin?
He can't hear you.
Oh, he can't hear me.
Yeah.
Why didn't we do that?
You can still do that.
I think it's a little late. I think it would feel a little... We're going to do our post-draft
like
show a month later.
Like the draft wrap-up in PFW. We did an issue after the draft.
Right. I don't know why we didn't do that on Patriots Today.
Hey, guys, and Chaz.
yes, it's sticking.
Keith in Georgia.
Chaz Scalavino.
That was awesome. Great job by John in L.A. He just raised the bar for all of the rest of us fans. This takes things to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
This is the In Plain Sight episode. So that was really good.
Is that available for people who didn't tape it or whatever? Is it on demand on like Comcast and
those
things?
I don't know, USA?
A lot of shows are now.
Probably.
Yeah, there's a lot of networks.
Keith also says, now we know why Fred stuck an axe in Andy's back. Andy testified against him and ran off with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
You got what you deserved.
You weren't really in the show.
No,
yeah,
just,
you really
just
weren't.
Just my name.
Yeah.
You had,
but you had a lot
cameo
of name.
In the first
A lot of name references, though.
I find it amazing. I don't know how John knew that I used to run an au pair service that was also a prostitution ring. I didn't know that.
In Tampa, right?
Yeah.
It's like Law and Order.
That's why the other pimp pulled a gun on you.
I
like
don't
Law
know,
and Order, they
ripped
said,
from the
ripped
headlines.
From the headlines.
I can't
like when they had
Brady,
the number 12 quarterback that was, you know, coming out of the closet and everything, and everybody said that was Brady.
Jason in Bimington. Says, hello, gentlemen. Now it's official. Not only do I rely on PFW in Progress for my football fix, but for my medical advice as well. This spring, my son has had bad allergies, and when I heard on PFW the idea to eat local honey to get your body used to the local pollen, I thought we'd give it a shot. I think allergy medicine can be too strong for little kids and big ones, too, based on Fred's Claritin-induced dreams of men snatching his tool and rustling his beef. The logic behind it makes so much sense that my wife didn't ask me where I heard the idea. I don't know what I'd say if she did. I could lie and say I read it on WebMD, or I could tell her the truth. I heard it on an internet radio show about the Patriots, somewhere between the host talking about cock and take and hot boxing, is when I decided to entrust the medical care of our firstborn child to them. Don't worry, baby, they're legit. When I went to the store, I asked the clerk if they sold local honey. She said, allergies, huh? I almost responded, PFW in Progress, huh? But I figured that what were the odds of running into a random PFW listener in this corner of upstate New York?
Pretty good.
It turns out local honey is an allergy remedy a lot of people try. We asked our pediatrician, and he basically said, why not? So PFW in Progress now has a medical seal of approval. Use the responsibility well.
Hey, there are three people who live on the same street in New Zealand that listen to this show, so you could bump into anybody
and
in upstate New York.
Kids in Arizona... University of Arizona.
That's
There's
right.
Andy Hart out there.
That's
who
right.
Was sitting with Derek, or no? There were three listeners, right? It wasn't
something
Derek,
like
it was
that?
Somebody
yeah.
else,
right?
So we're big all over the world.
We're now counting our listeners individually.
No, well, you know what I mean. Screw you.
Let's see. A lot of emails here. Let's
really?
Go to
who
the
is
phones.
This kid who's been entrusted to the studio?
I don't know, but if he can,
why are we not told?
If he could work the board, I'd like to take a break. But other than that, we'll go to the phones.
And he's eating a calzone. How did he get lunch?
508.
Oh, you got taken to the cleaners today.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Thank you for lunch, by the way, James.
Simon in Newfoundland.
We can't say it enough.
Sorry, you got hosed.
St. John's, Newfoundland. Simon, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I just thought it was hilarious that you guys were talking about Dildo and Spread Eagle there on the last show.
Yes, we did too.
Have you been to either one?
That was good stuff. That was good stuff. I just wanted to ask you guys about Chad Ochocinco.
He's going to ignore the question?
And...
He doesn't like you. Everybody ignores you, Chaz.
Oh, sorry.
Have you been to either one of those places?
No.
Has your wife been to Dildo?
Actually, now...
But wives are off limits, you said.
Yeah, well, I don't have a wife. I'm only 20, so.
Oh.
It's all good.
You have a girlfriend?
No. Oh.
You're a mature-sounding 20, I have to say.
Thank you.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
Where is he from, New Zealand?
Newfoundland.
Not New Zealand,
Newfoundland.
No, Newfoundland.
Oh.
What'd you say, New Finland?
New Finland.
Okay, sorry, proceed.
Yeah, it's all good. Anyway, Chad Ultra Single, what do you guys think?
About his coming here?
Yeah.
Don't want him.
I could see it happening. I would take him if he were available. I wouldn't break the bank to get him, but you know, if he were willing to agree to, you know, take a little bit less or, you know, tone down his off-field stuff, and I he'd be an upgrade from what they have now, so I would take him.
And I think also the difference between he and like Moss is he's a well-rounded receiver. He goes over the middle. Now, he may not be as good. He may not have as much left in the tank as Moss had in 07, but I think you can do a variety of things. You can work him in as just a receiver in your offense. He's not just, quote, taking the top off the defense.
If I have to choose between those two, I'll take Ocho Cinco.
What if you had to choose between Ocho Cinco and Steve Smith?
Steve Smith. Me?
Sure, you too.
Yeah, you too.
I go Ocho Cinco because Steve Smith, you know, Steve Smith's not getting the ball. He's crying on the sideline.
Or
punching people out on the
punching
team.
Punching people. So, yeah, I guess I go with Ocho Cinco. He'd do the same thing, though, on Twitter going, oh, give me the ball and stuff like that, too. Mm-hmm. But
he's more playful. Yeah. He's more immature.
And Bill likes him.
The off-field stuff for Ocho Cinco wouldn't discourage me at all. I just don't think he's the player. Andy alluded to it. I don't know what he's got left. He is certainly a more well-rounded receiver than Moss was, even in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not as dangerous, and I think that's what they need more so is a big play threat. And I'm not sure that he's able to provide that at this point. And certainly if he's not getting the ball up to his desires, then he's going to cause problems. But the off-field stuff is of minimal concern to me.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about Andy's point about the coaching compared to other teams with athletes matching up on athletes. And I just want to say that I agree with that as well because I just defensively especially, I just don't think that the Patriots have the athletes to match up with other teams, as well as with a rookie corner like Razi Dowling not, you know, learning as fast as he usually would without mini camps and stuff like that. I just it's a little bit of a concern, I guess.
How much do you think it matters? Like, if this goes into July and then August and maybe even into September, would you legitimately say, well, I thought the Patriots were a 12-win team, but given all this, do you knock them down a win or two? Do you think it's that big a deal?
I would probably go 11-5 or 10-6 for sure. I guess it worries me a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
And about Rex Ryan, I just, he annoys the hell out of me. Especially with, there's a ton of New York fans here where I live, so I got to listen to all the Jets bantering, I guess.
All right, Simon, thanks for the call. Strippers confirms that Comcast does have the in plain sight on demand. It's called Love in the Time of Colorado, May 15th. So that was the air date of that.
Nice.
In case you're looking for it.
It's on Fios, too.
Is it?
I don't know. That's what he said.
I imagine if it's on Comcast, it's on Fios as well. Let's see. Sergeant Conroy writes in. He says, I think that Demora Smith needs to be fired. And somebody else take the helm of the negotiations. It seems like Smith is too set on one path and unable to see any other direction.
Yes.
Then why don't we fire somebody on the other side and make it tit for tat? Right. I mean,
Bob Batterman, right? Oh,
right.
Batterman.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to do that, I'm all for that. If you want to change up negotiations, say we're stagnant, we got to pull people. But I think it's going to be one
Goodell
for one.
Roger keeps telling me.
Fans want.
We just need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get these lawyers out of here. We need to talk. Right? Get rid of your lawyers, mm-hmm. too.
Yep. Okay.
Why don't we, instead of Ursay and Saturday, why don't we do Kraft and Brady? Kraft is an influential owner. Brady's name is in the lawsuit. Yep. Let's sit him down and do a deal.
Ursay and Manning. His quarterback's
on you. That would benefit the owners.
Probably.
Brady folds like a card table. I mean, just look at the contracts he signs.
Callum from Glasgow, first off, congrats to Drew on being inducted.
He wasn't listening or he would have taken the bait.
He was my vote, so I'm happy. Anyway, can I get a shout-out for my flag football team, the Glasgow Hornets? We kick off our season tomorrow evening at home.
Sounds more like a football team.
Against the Kirkcaldy Bulls. The Bulls are the reigning undefeated UK senior, which is 18 or older, or over 18, flag champions and have been for the past 3 years. It will be a big upset if the Hornets get a result. That means a win in UK. But we're quietly confident.
Being upset if they finish the game, that would be a result. I mean,
so, good luck. All right.
Go Hornets.
It's 12.
Yeah. Sting the Bills.
Shout out.
12:47. We have to take a break, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Bruce! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
During the dog days of a long off-season, the men of PFW decided to find out why Eric is always so resentful about school.
There are a lot of kids that don't make the most of their opportunity. Any school is what you put into it. You did well at school.
I did well, but I didn't do my best. I could have done better. I should have done better.
Through the power of group therapy, the men of PFW tried to make Eric feel comfortable discussing his troubled childhood.
I wasn't a trust fund baby. I shouldn't have screwed up.
What were you doing?
Fulfill my potential.
What were you doing? What do you think your potential is, by the way?
More than this, Fred.
So what was Eric doing when he wasn't studying?
I was definitely too involved in sports.
You were a kicker.
You know, too involved in limiting myself in that one area.
What position did you play again, Eric?
You were a kicker.
Sigmund Freud would be proud. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Talking about preparing for a shortened season or a shortened off season. John says, so in regards to being able to install a new scheme, I would argue that the Pats actually have an advantage. They did it last year when Moss left and they didn't miss a beat. I think that is why the experts are saying the Patriots are in the best position to not fall flat on their face like San Francisco is moving towards the longer we get without getting football operations back.
I'm not comparing them to San Francisco. I'm comparing them to other good teams. That would be my question. If there's more talent in Green Bay, if there's more talent in Pittsburgh, if there's more talent in New York.
Or Indy.
Right.
There's a lot of teams that aren't going through a coaching change
I think
that have talent.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady can roll the ball out there and beat the snot out of San Francisco and these other places.
Yeah, and no one's suggesting that this difference is going to be the difference between being a playoff team and not. I don't believe that will be the case. I believe that the Patriots are one of the best teams in football. So it's a minimal thing. I don't even know if it's worth a win. You know, Andy asked Simon if he thought it would be affecting the record.
And Simon says...
A win or two. I don't even know if it's worth a full win. I just think that there is... I think the easy knee-jerk reaction is to say Bill Belichick is the best coach in football, so in dealing with a situation that's out of the ordinary, he's the best at doing that. I think that's certainly logical to say. I just don't think in this particular case it tells the whole picture. The reason he's the best coach in football is this preparedness. The preparation that he puts in, the game planning that he puts in, and if that's at all weakened, you know, we always talk in training camp, he always says how much they focus on that first month of the season and the first four opponents. Well, how much are they going to be able to do that this year?
Well,
they're going to have to focus on installation.
I mean, that's the bottom line, is the less coaching is involved, the more talent becomes the determining factor. That's logical.
So the question then becomes, where do you believe the Patriots rank in the NFL on pure talent?
Right.
Across the board, but 1 to 53.
But then the gray area is, even with a shortened offseason, can good coaching or good coaching staff or good organization have, you know, an effect, everything else being equal?
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It will have a positive effect. I don't know if it'll be as big a positive effect as it's been in the past.
And will it be enough?
Right. We'll see.
Right.
Alex and or hopefully.
For example,
we won't
see. I think the Patriots won.
Well, we're already seeing. I mean, we're already going down that road.
No, it's been disrupted. The usual routine has been disrupted.
I think the Patriots won some games last year strictly by virtue of Bill Belichick.
Oh, I think their whole defense was based on
the San Diego game would be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was strictly as a result of coaching and just
Pepper yelling
preparation, just general preparation. I think talent for talent, the other team probably had more.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Are you conversing with the ESPN Boston people?
Yes.
And rubbing your
He was gesturing
boobs.
Towards my shirt, so I gestured toward my shirt, too.
Yeah, okay, and then you started talking really creepy.
He's touching himself.
When I think about Pac-Man Jones, I touch myself.
You play right into it, Andy. He did that just so you would mention, or someone would mention, the ESPN Boston radio
They're friends
show.
Of the family, ESPN Boston
And they're not really competitors, Fred. Let's be serious.
Oh, wow. That was really
condescending. I mean, they count their listeners on their fingers.
It's accurate.
Wow.
It's not condescending if it's accurate.
Alex,
just like we don't compete with WEEI. It's apples and oranges.
Online we do.
do they stream online?
Yeah, they stream online.
But are we competitive?
Sure. Do you not remember the summit, Andy, when Fred... specifically said we had to compete.
No, I know that, but I mean numbers wise, are we competitive with them online?
Online, sure.
You have no freaking
idea,
absolutely.
Do you? based on iTunes, we are.
As far as you know.
Oh, I had a question about iTunes.
Yeah.
The other day,
I said with tone,
he's unbelievable.
No, Rich Eisen tweeted celebrating my millionth podcast download with enlisted a couple guests. What's he talking about? Is he just reaching a total of a million downloads?
Probably.
So we blow him out of the water?
Because
we get a million a month.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. Or damn near it.
Close to it.
Well, yeah. If you figure, let's just say 50,000 per show.
Well, we're much more than that, but I don't know why you're starting with such a low number.
But no, I'm just saying conservatively.
Very, very conservatively.
Andy Hart, Matt!
Yeah, so...
So what's he talking about?
I mean, that's 150,000 a week. So, 8 weeks, we'd be there.
Right. So what?
2 months.
Do we get that many more listeners than he does? I can't imagine that.
Well, I don't know if he's just on, because ours are included, if you download it from any device or any our website. Maybe he's just looking at iTunes. I don't know.
But I'm sure we're over a million on iTunes.
A week from Thursday, I'm going to send out a tweet saying, getting ready to celebrate our 10 millionth download.
Let's go with 20 million.
Maybe
20? I'll go with 20.
I don't know. Let's figure it out roughly.
As later. Fred says, what's the circulation?
Yeah, I don't.
Who's asking?
I don't. Maybe he's just talking about a show.
But I don't think he. He wasn't talking about a single show.
I mean, that's a very popular show on iTunes. That's
a million.
And he gets
like
five.
Million seems kind of low for a total.
Yeah,
an all-time
that's a
total.
Top five.
Maybe he was like Dr. Eva. He meant 1 billion.
Maybe it's just a million different people.
How could you quantify that?
Yeah, that's hard to know. when it comes to, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. Alex from Philly says, I just wanted to say that I enjoyed Thursday's show and that you guys never cease to amaze me with the topics you come up with to talk about. I've never heard of so many oddly named places before, and it piqued my interest so much that I did a little research of my own and found some shocking names. Well, French Lick, Indiana, we know. Jackass Flats, Nevada. Hell for Certain, Kentucky. Satan's Kingdom, Massachusetts.
Hey, where's that?
Where's that?
I don't know. Satan's Kingdom. Must be out.
Everett.
And last but not least,
it's the opposite. It's God's country.
Square Butt, Montana. I think that's Butte, though. Hope you guys had a good laugh from that. I know I did. On a football-related note,
Satan's what?
Kingdom.
I've never heard of that.
On a football note, I have a trade scenario that I wanted to run by you. Assuming that trades will happen, what if we traded Logan Mankins to the Cowboys for Anthony Spencer in a second-round pick? What do you guys think? Okay, guys, keep up the good work. Logan Mankins for Anthony Spencer in a second rounder.
I would do that.
People are
thinking.
Yeah. I would do that if I were the Patriots. Not sure the Cowboys would.
I don't think the Cowboys would,
only
though.
Because of the contract.
Right, you got to pay him $50 million.
It's a fair. I think it's reasonably fair compensation. Although maybe a little high. It's a pretty good player and a second round pick.
Yeah,
but
that's I don't think the
with
Cowboys
the contract.
Would.
The contract. You know, in addition to that, you have to consider. The Cowboys would have to give $50 million to Logan Mankins. So now you're giving away a player, a second-round pick, and $50 million.
These are the best cookies they've ever
for,
sent.
For a guard. So, I don't know. Might be too steep. I would do that, though, Freddie. I would
warm.
Do that.
They're a little limp.
Wow.
Moist?
You've dealt with that before.
Hey, guys, on
no,
the phone
haven't.
Right
I can't
now
have it both
at
ways. You've never dealt with that.
598-0398 is John in L.A. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Hey, congratulations on a great show Sunday night. It was awesome.
Thank you. I was happy. I was basically happy.
How were our ratings?
Yeah. I don't know. We find out in the middle of the day today.
Oh, you don't
know.
Get overnights?
I thought it
no.
sucked.
Wow.
But good job with the lingo, Andy.
Well, thank you.
Would you say the overnights?
I said that.
That was great.
You know, he goes to the combine. Too.
I especially like that you threw in the Chris Ferreira.
Oh, that was a good surprise.
That was the best.
Surprise.
That made me laugh. I immediately went downstairs to tell my wife. I go, Chris Ferreira just died.
Yay!
Well, it's Chris Ferreira, geeky-looking guy. So we got, and they right. had to run photos by me and said, are these okay?
That's great.
But, you know, how did you find out that I used to run an au pair service? And how did you find that
I had no
out?
Idea.
Yeah, that's pretty good detective work.
Why were you basically happy?
Yeah,
there's a condition
well,
there.
You write this thing and it goes through so many different people, including network people who.
Oh, they get their hands all over it and
a little bit, yeah.
Out.
There's a lot. There's a, and there's this thing called ADR, which is you guys. I don't know, but it's called looping. It's when you go in and after the episode is run and you put in extra little lines or a certain line wasn't delivered well, so they shoot the actor from the back and give him something else to say, and. I kept calling and saying, what are they doing my ADR? Because I want to make sure I write it and I don't have the network write it. And then you hear stuff and you're like, oh, God, nobody got in touch with me. And that's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. I really enjoyed it. And it seemed like from message boards and stuff that the in-plain sight viewers liked it
now,
a lot.
I have to admit, I don't watch every episode. My wife does. But does Mary or did Mary have something going on with her partner at one point? Or
well, that's no, but there is a sort of
underlying.
Okay,
kind
so
of I picked that up. Yeah.
Tension. They've okay. never gotten together, but he's sort of in love with her, and deep down, she kind of loves him too. But there's often like you sort of tease the audience with the idea that Marshall's finally going to say something to her, and then he doesn't. And we did that in the airport scene at the end.
His name is actually Marshall. It's Marshall.
Yeah, it's Marshall.
Oh, I thought that she just called him by his title.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
So when he was visiting the shrink, then he sort of realized that he was in love with his partner when she made him talk about how when she was abducted. And
a little bit. I mean, it's more like he's just realizing how much that the trauma that she has faced in the past he's never dealt with, and you know how much it means. Mm. But he's aware that he loves Mary more than Mary's aware that she loves Marshall.
Just so you know, if you ever bring Jimmy Hart back, he wants to do the therapist. He thought she was good.
You know, the therapist is married to Fred Weller, who plays Marshall.
Oh, so they had some chemistry already.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they also, yeah.
What? Go ahead.
They, what were you going to say?
The makeup and the wardrobe on her was a little interesting for this episode.
Why, her boobs not really that big?
Slutty.
Oh, I liked it. She showed a little TNA, and yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, sure.
Now, has Mary had augmentation over the years?
She has not.
Because
it's not actually something I love talking about only because I've known her for 20 years.
Oh,
I mean, I don't mind you bringing it up. I'm just saying.
No, because I remember her in Howard Stern's movie.
Allison.
And she didn't look, same.
I think they probably had her intentionally looking a little bit plainer.
Yeah.
No?
Oh, okay.
Well, not only that, she's a little older now. I mean, that was like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And
so
also,
it's called in plain
sight. I wish that I could like break news on PFW, but Mary McCormick's pregnant, and that's being written into the show.
Oh. Is it yours?
I mean, I knew it while we were shooting my episode, but
is it Howard's?
Whose baby is it? Yours?
It is not my baby. It is her husband, Michael Morris's baby.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's.
She works for the Kennedys for a while.
She's a made woman.
It was a lot of fun to watch. John, I just have a question. How many, would you say roughly, how many references do you think you put in there?
43 references.
43
PFW.
So we only got about half
of them. I mean, in terms of PFW, we had so many more that got cut out, which I was really bummed about. But in terms of movie, TV kind of references, along with the PFW references, there were about 40-ish.
Now, so we got about half of them.
I have another question for you, just in watching it, there were so many times where something was said where I laughed, and I was immediately thinking to myself, when the actors got the script, did they say, what the hell does this mean?
No, what's amazing to me is that nobody even bumped on the PFW in progress that I had in the old B story that got cut out.
Oh, really?
I mean,
they didn't even question
it. So it would make sense.
Huh.
But...
Wow.
But you know what I mean? Like, there was like these vague things.
The zero to hot was my favorite.
Zero to hot, I almost fell off my bed.
I couldn't wait for you guys to watch that part.
That was great.
That and Ferreira dying were the two best parts.
Yeah. I also thought your best line, though, was when Mary says to her boss, I've kissed more girls than this guy. And she walks off, and the boss looks like he wants more explanation.
Well, he likes her, too, or did like her, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You can tell,
they're all,
Wasn't there an episode where he kind of said that he liked her, but nothing would ever happen or something like that?
I don't know what episode that is.
Yeah, I thought there was an early episode where it was pretty clear. He either actually said something and then followed up, but, nothing will ever. But like, he was in love with her, too, at one
point. Now, John, what happened to Steven Weber from Wings? Wasn't he on the show?
That's a good question. You know what? There was about, it was tricky. I know that the fans aren't wild about Steven Weber, but that's not why he's not on. I mean, the fans just really want Mary and Marshall to get together. And the fact is, if we ever do that, it's...
Show's over.
The show's over, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not totally over because some shows like...
No, you'll last for another, maybe a half a season or so, but everybody will then start complaining.
Sharky.
Yeah, they're going to have to kill Marshall.
I don't think they're going to kill Marshall.
Have Mary go on like a bender?
Something's going to happen.
Wait a minute. So who's the father of the baby in the show?
I'm not allowed to say.
Oh, that's
is it Jimmy Hart?
I'll say this.
Jimmy Hart?
No, it's not
you
Jimmy
will find
Hart.
Out in a few weeks.
It wasn't Scalavino. We know that.
No.
Unless he did more during that training thing than we could see.
Yeah.
Unless it happened.
Yeah, we didn't shoot it. We didn't see it.
Right.
You can't believe the body double they have for Mary for that stuff. I mean, I'm sure maybe people notice when they have high def and they can freeze the thing, but Mary's body double did a lot of that work because she was pregnant at that point, so like getting flung to the ground and stuff was the best thing.
Oh, okay.
But it's amazing how much she looks like her.
That's great. Well, John, you need to get us the answer key.
And I will give you I can send it right now if you want.
Yeah, and what during the show, people who have watched the show send us their best stab at all 43 references.
Yep.
And then whoever gets closest and more accurate, we will announce the winner on Thursday and award them a Bledsoe replica jersey and a PFW Online T-shirt.
Great. Now I will leave it to you guys.
Brady. I keep saying Bledsoe. Brady. I mean.
I'll leave it to you guys to be more discerning in terms of what you think counts as a reference, because some of them are just said out loud. It's not like they're hidden references.
No, right.
But I'll send it to you, and you can decide what's fair or not. I've included each of your names just one time. Those only count one time.
Right.
Although Fred's could kind of count twice because the opening shot is the shot of the sign.
And mine kind of counts twice too because
there's a
And there's a pseudonym.
Alias.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That was a little bit of a Patriots reference.
Yeah. Yes, yes. It's kind of very much a Patriots reference.
Yeah. I tried to have a James Sanders.
I missed it.
Is there they cut it.
Is there any way we can is there any way we can get audio so that we can take like drop-ins?
All right.
Make clips? How,
yeah, that's a good idea. All right, thanks, guys. I'll get
well,
the
before,
right now.
Before you go, John, congratulations. And next time, can we actually be in a show? and you don't have to use our names, but put us in.
If you get yourself to Albuquerque.
Okay. All right.
Thanks again, John.
John, that was great.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun watching that.
It was. John in L.A.
But Eric said that Albuquerque is a...
Santa Fe.
Oh, artist
Santa
capital.
Fe. Oh. We were talking about just the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, I told him I had no interest, really. Like... You know how usually a state pops up and you say, hey, I'd like to go see X or Y or
it's
this?
It's one of the few states I've never actually been in.
I got no freaking interest.
New Mexico.
No interest. Way.
Albuquerque, though, I hear is happening. It's pretty cool, that area. A lot of conventions go down there now.
Yeah.
And
Santa.
You know,
gay.
Oh, boy.
He's just...
It's unbelievable.
No, he told me it was like a gathering of artists.
It's an artist colony, you know, Santa Fe.
Not
it's
a leper colony.
Or a nudist colony.
Leper colony.
He stunned himself there.
508-298-0039 Snowman is the Ace Ticket hotline. Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good. Did you write for a TV show? Because we're only accepting script writers today.
No, but actually it was pretty cool to get that information. Because, you know, through the years watching television, I've always noticed those scenes where I'm like, I don't think he said that line. You know, and it was kind of cool getting the explanation for that. You know, you kind of catch those little things. So
you never know what you're going to learn on PFW in Progress.
It really is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Where else can you be in a community or like a podcast and like you see a guy wait, well, not see him, but you know he's waiting tables one day and now he's a successful writer of a hit show.
That's right. Not only do you know things about us, we know things about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, like you said,
it's a family.
It's a community.
Yep.
We
invented social networking before there was social
networking.
And you know
what? Sunday is going to be an enormous smash success just for that reason.
Yes, Sunday.
What's Sunday?
Sunday mornings.
Sundays. Our show.
In case people haven't heard, we're going to be doing what we call, at least tentatively, the pregame social.
Yeah.
The PFW pregame social. It'll be a 2-hour show leading up to 15 minutes to kickoff where it's this, but... It's more than that. It's, you know, checking in with fan clubs around the world and talking about the game, getting their injury report and all that stuff. But really, just, you know, it's a virtual tailgate.
Global tailgate party.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that on Sundays.
Paul will be drinking.
Yeah.
Hey,
we're going to go drink.
Whatever it takes to help the ball club.
Well, that's cool, guys. But, I have to chime in on the Ocho Cinco thing. I can't believe Peter King is finally stating that when I've clearly posted that on Facebook almost a year and a half ago.
He takes credit for anything and everything.
He's stealing from me.
He is.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't doubt
it. He takes credit for everything he can, even Facebook postings.
And I know it would be a little bit sarcastic, but I honestly, that is how I feel about him. I've seen enough major mistakes over the last several years to think that he didn't just start making mistakes.
Why don't you tell him? Why don't you walk down to the South End in Boston, knock on his door, and say,
hey. I don't walk in his circles.
That's true.
Yeah. And what's the big deal with him making that post? It's just like I said, it's just like me posting that. You know, you get a little clip from Ocho and, like, whatever he said. And especially, like, you guys probably forgot this, but I think it was just after the Patriots lost in the playoffs that he put question marks as in maybe I'll be next to Bill next year.
Oh, yeah.
So,
BB and Pepe, epic.
Exactly. So it's just like, you know what, Peter King, shut up.
Yeah.
It's like, it's ridiculous. And you guys are right. It's always about Peter King and what he feels and his Monday morning quarterback. He's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
But, yeah, but between the two.
Jeez, I don't have the animosity toward Peter King. That
no,
you
just
guys
the rest of the media you have it toward.
No, yeah, well, I got you guys back, so that's why I'm just jumping along with you.
Yes.
You know, like, F Peter King.
Okay.
And strippers have been tweeting your venom at Peter King.
But between
strippers,
the two,
you really need to stop that.
I stand by it.
What's that, Anthony? Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's just pretty interesting. Between the two, as in, like, Steve Smith and Ocho, honestly, old Steve Smith, when he was younger, sounds very appealing because he was a burner.
Yes.
But my thing is, you know, he's kind of been lost down there in the last 2 years, and, like, who knows if he probably lost a step, and it's not only just quarterback issues. You know what I mean? Because he was mostly built upon his speed. And, like, what's he, like, mid-30s?
He's a playmaker, but not necessarily just about getting behind guys. And I do agree with you that he probably has lost a step, but he's broken a lot of tackles and made a lot of people
and
miss
for the
and
ball,
fights for extra yards.
Strong, even though he's not big,
it's
tall.
It's not just like deep speed. It's not just like
he
go
fights for the ball. He fights for the ball.
Oh, yeah, he'll pop it. It just happens to the guy's name, Westbrook.
I agree.
All right, let me throw another name in there for you, Anthony. You have the first two candidates. You have Ocho Cinco and Steve Smith. I'm going to leave out Larry Fitzgerald because, to me, he's the right answer.
Nah.
Everyone would always pick Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
But
Rice would be great.
Sidney Rice,
yeah.
Which,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some issues there. You're going to pay a guy a lot of money.
Out of those three, I'll take Sidney Rice.
Who has had his injury concerns, has basically had one great season in his 4 years in the league, it must be. I'm not as all in on Sidney Rice as I think some people are.
I'm definitely more
I'm a little scared.
I'm more all in than you are. If he hadn't played since that hip injury, that would concern me more. He came back and played the last half of the season, so that tells me he's okay. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that. You got to do your medical.
You got
to do your medical now.
Doc Gill, got to check him out.
Got to do medical now. But
yeah,
I think he's
honestly
a terrific player.
I think realistically, I think Ocho Cinco is going to be the one. I like his versatility. And if he did lose a little bit of a step with his speed, you know, he has the size to work it through the middle.
I agree.
You know?
He can work it.
Now, I think he is a legitimate candidate because of his relationship with Bill, because of the point in his career. He'll come on the cheap. He won't be looking for big money or long term. I think that's legitimate, that speculation.
Yeah, and I think he wouldn't want to disrupt the locker room, too. He's coming into a different environment. It's not really, you know, like his, per se, or he's not the veteran there, the 10-year-plus veteran, where he's going to go in there having a lot of respect for Brady, obviously, and just he's going to not bow his head, but, you know, he's going to just be very agreeable and do what's needed, like what the team asks.
Yeah, I don't actually think he'd be a problem on the field either if he didn't get the ball. I don't think his cojones or his immaturity are that big where he would be calling out Tom Brady immediately.
No.
There's a difference between Carson Palmer, who you've been with for 8 years, and the new guy who's, by the way, a Hall of Famer, champion,
man. Don't discount, and we saw this a little with Corey Dillon, don't discount that a lot of that was the result of years of frustration
for
playing for that utterly inept organization.
Oh, yeah.
Not even, I mean, Carson Palmer, say what you want about him. He was a pretty good quarterback. You know, he hasn't played well the last couple of years. But you play for the Bengals and you realize how many opportunities you miss because of things that you do to yourself.
Right.
You know, whether it's bad drafts or bad decisions or not signing your draft picks, just utter ineptitude among the ownership right on down. That's got to really weigh on you. And I think when you watch him play, when you watch Ocho Cinco play, with very few occasion do you sit there and say, that guy's not giving it his all. That guy doesn't care about winning. I mean, I'm not saying that you never saw it, because you always see it with every wide receiver at some point.
And all
except
his,
for Larry Fitzgerald, as you said.
And all his issues are because of that. He wants to win
and have fun
produce so badly, and he truly believes throwing it to him is a way to do that.
Yeah, again, to me, it's all physical. It's all what he can still do.
I
don't care about that off-field stuff at all.
I bet he's better than Brandon Tate.
If I
bet he is, too. Yeah.
I don't really want Ocho Cinco.
Eric chiming in from off
mic. Eric agrees.
Yeah. I'm really not, you know, excited about Ocho Cinco coming here, but I would be, like, really against it if the Patriots had a young quarterback.
If Ryan Mallett were the starting quarterback, I wouldn't want any part of it.
It wouldn't make sense.
Different story.
Because that would be a cocktail ready to explode.
But when you got Brady, you know, Brady's the leader. There's no doubt about it. You know,
I think you know what.
What?
You know, you're not going to.
I mean, emphasis on the first
syllable. You'd have a cocksure quarterback and a cocksure receiver.
Because that's a common way to.
Right.
That's a cocktail waiting to explode. That's a common thing. That's a common phrase.
A volatile cocktail.
Molotov.
A volatile cocktail.
Is that what you were thinking?
No. Molotov?
No.
Yes, it was.
I wasn't thinking
volatile.
Of Molotov.
A volatile combination.
Right.
Yes.
I think you were thinking Molotov.
No, I wasn't.
Is that Russian? Is that Russian? What is a Molotov?
Did we get the update from John yet? I'm really curious.
Eric, I need your, what is Molotov? Is that Russian or?
Russian.
What does it mean? Is it a place or is it a?
It's probably a guy named Molotov that started it.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah. They threw one of those vodka that they threw in there.
They threw one of those at my house when I was a kid. Molotov cocktail.
Really?
Yeah.
Those
were like
those can be pretty destructive.
Like,
at your high school?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. Your house?
I remember it.
Your
came
sister
in.
Was in a
listeners?
Feud?
No, when I was a kid.
Are you all right?
Because I can see now people throwing.
Well, you're stabbing him in the back with a hatchet.
Right.
So. That's why I have the gates so they can't reach the house from the street.
Skip.
What
one.
Did it do to the house?
It didn't actually hit the house. It hit a tree and like the front yard and stuff.
But it exploded.
Oh yeah. And then the neighbor from across the street saw it and saw the car and came out with a shotgun.
Wow.
The hell do you live in?
Is
the
Frontier
Adirondack?
Justice? It is, really.
The Ozarks?
No.
Jeez.
I remember that, though. I was like seven, maybe, or something. I remember the cops. So
Isn't that where Mallet's from?
Like the
isn't he from
the
Ozarks?
What's going on up there?
I don't know. He's from Texarkana.
Isn't that close?
The Arkansas,
Arkansas
side.
Yeah.
Where he went to
high
school
in Texas.
At Texas High, which is in Texarkana, Texas.
Speaking of Mallet, Skip wants to talk to him.
State Line
or
Road
about him.
Down the middle.
Skip says one reason for taking Mallet that hasn't been discussed much, if at all, is the impact on division foes. I think both Miami and Buffalo would have been happy to get him later in the draft. By the Patriots taking him as a backup, it keeps him off of those two teams as a potential starter. They have to continue to sift through lesser talent or are forced to other options. I think Bill is looking to increase his odds in those four divisional games. It's not the primary reason, but I think it's a legitimate consideration. I don't either.
I think they saw value.
Right.
I think not only it wasn't really a consideration, I don't think it should be.
Right.
You don't pick players because you're trying to keep them from somebody else unless you think they can help you.
Right.
And that's why.
And if they hurt somebody else, that's a
good byproduct.
Yeah, exactly.
If you think the veterans are mad because you wasted a pick on a quarterback who's a backup now, wait till you tell them that you took the guy just to keep him off the
other
team.
You don't even think he's that good.
Yeah, you don't even want to play him.
I mean, I think it could work out to be a nice bonus.
Nice.
That, you know, Miami, for example, is going to get stuck with Chad Henne for the next year or so. And now if they decide to move on from him, they got to turn the page with somebody else that they don't have right now. That's a good byproduct of taking Mallet, but can't be the reason why.
We should talk about my blog entry from last Friday.
We should talk about you. I think we should just turn this show over to you.
Those things are
and Fred,
peeping.
Eric, and I will just leave.
Okay, go ahead. Proceed.
What do you think?
I don't know if you read it, Fred, but... Michael Lombardi on the NFL Network and NFL.com, they asked their panel, among which he was one, which quarterback would have the greatest career impact from this draft. And he picked Mallet, not only for on the field, but I forget the exact quote, but basically said, wanting to work with Mallet will keep Bill Belichick in New England for another decade and beyond.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
A bit?
Yeah.
It's borderline as, what's the line in Anchorman? Re-goddamn-diculous to think such a thing? First of all, the current Hall of Fame quarterback said he would like to stay for another decade. Another 10 years.
Right.
Beyond any other issue. And that's so flawed. I think he's just trying to either drum up controversy or carry the water, as Paul says, or do something. I mean, he is a friend of Bill Belichick.
That's actually a Florio term, carry the water. I didn't think that.
Well, I believe you said it about Lombardi's quotes.
Well, I think he's certainly guilty of that.
Right, and he's a friend of Bill Belichick. I mean, he's a working friend. He worked with him.
But why being a friend do you have to come to that conclusion? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, well, I assumed the implication was, there's a guy that came out of college with all these red flags, and now we're painting him as, not only does Bill think he's a football guy, and I fell in love talking to him, but analysts think this guy is the opposite of that. He's going to keep a Hall of Fame coach on the sideline wanting to work with him. It's like promoting the guy.
Yeah,
I think those same analysts, you know, might have a completely different take on that pick if another team made it.
Right.
That's carrying the water.
Okay.
Here's why Bill Belichick took him.
Yeah.
All these wonderful things that probably you don't think
of. If the Dolphins took him, they wouldn't be saying, oh, Tony Sperano just guaranteed himself another
10 more years
in the NFL.
You know, it'd be Mallet on South Beach. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right. That's the kind of stuff they'd be saying.
He's like a contrarian. I mean, what is he doing today? What is this shtick?
He's just hating the media today.
Are you distracted today?
Except Peter King, who he loves, apparently.
Fred?
What's that?
Are you distracted?
No. Steven,
you look distracted.
Nelly Carreño.
Yeah, those things are popping today.
Well, today she's that button looks like the front of Fred's shirt wanting to pop open, but it's her boobs, not
really,
her gut.
It really is.
Steven is where is he from? I don't know.
I tell you where I'd like to be. Motorboating.
Oh, he says
you motorboating.
He says he's a New Forest.
A 16-year-old is getting
still don't know who he is, but he's a laugher.
Right.
He's a good laugh track.
Yep.
Hey, guys, and Chaz and Steven, thought you'd enjoy a few more amusing
Stress
places here.
Wait
in
till he tells his mother what he did today.
Here in the UK.
He's not going to tell her.
Hopefully some of them will set Andy off to the point he has to be disciplined. Don't get me wrong. Andy's great, but the idea of him having to explain to HR why he thinks it's perfectly okay to run around the office telling everyone about Brown Willy in Bodmin, Cornwall, or Cock Up Bottom in Cumbria. Well, I'd like to be a fly on the wall during that conversation. Let's not even mention Bummers Hill in Hertfordshire.
What was the last one?
Bummers Hill.
Good. What is Hertfordshire?
It's probably a little. It's a
Hertfordshire?
It's sure, I think they go with.
Sure.
Oh, you're such a pompous.
Well, I think that is what. That's right. Isn't
it's
it?
A Shire. Ass hat, Fred.
Like, it's not like
you're looking at.
Scalabino.
It's New Hampshire,
but
not
in Middle
New
Earth,
Hampshire.
It's the Shire.
That's true. I think they did it that way on purpose.
Oh, now he agrees with you, so he's not so pompous. Huh?
Right. Assuming everything gets sorted out and we have a new CBA based roughly on the old one, at what point does holding Mankins here against his will stop making sense? I struggle to see how retaining the contract of a player who's only going to participate in half a season makes sense, especially when he's not a happy camper who's already demonstrated that sitting out is an option. Obviously, if they can reach common ground, then great. But surely at some point there has to be a higher value in opening a roster spot, nurturing new talent at the position, and making sure you have a locker room that's not distracted by any sort of perceived sympathy.
I think that that makes a lot of sense. I don't feel like there's a chance that it's only going to be half a season this year for Mankins, and maybe if the Patriots thought that, that would
unless the league is half a season.
Increase the urgency. Oh, but that's not.
I know. Then just technically, it would be a full season.
Right. Right. You're supposed to say right. You blew your line.
Right. Sorry. I was drinking my juice.
Cock
my
and
antioxidants.
But
who just had cock and take?
Who just did that?
What?
Are cock you? And take.
That would be
cock
Fred.
And take. Cock and take.
All right.
All right. Jeez.
What do you use your mouth for, Fred?
Cock and take.
He has great timing.
He's so slow.
Great comedic timing.
Cock
Chris,
and take.
Wait for it.
Chris from Hereford, New England. Is it Hereford or Hereford?
How's it spelled?
H-E-R-E-F-O-R-D.
Hereford.
Hereford.
Okay. Look at me. That's what I would have gone with.
Hey, hey, Fred, Paul, Mr. Draft, and Angry Eric.
Angry Chaz, actually.
Haven't been angry.
He says Chaz in parentheses. Just
It's sticking, baby.
Just, Chaz isn't a
bad
name, though.
I saw Chaz yesterday, by the way.
It's
on,
not a bad
Chaz
name.
Chaz is a good name.
One of those.
She's been making
one
the rounds.
One of those afternoon shows.
Chaz Palminteri is a great actor.
Yeah.
Screw you, bitch.
I know you explained it to me the other day. Who's that again?
From Bronx Tale.
He's an actor.
The guy from the Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
Which guy from the Bronx?
The
lead.
Sonny.
Mob boss.
Did you see Bronx Tale?
I'm
Sonny.
Sure. I think so.
We saw it on the bus last year.
The guy who kills the guy out in the front of the street.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And he takes the kid under his wing.
Well, he's been in a lot of things.
Is he always a mobster? Because he looks like a mobster.
Mostly mob movies.
I mean, you know, that's what they do to the Italians.
Yeah,
stereotypes.
Last night kind of looked like him. Perillo kind of looked like him.
A little bit. A little bit.
Perillo.
Zero to hot.
Just wanted to say that
didn't
I hope
Mike
that
in Puerto Rico actually coined that phrase?
Yes.
So that's for him. I mean, Mike in Puerto Rico kind of wrote a line on a major television program.
Zero to hot.
That's
when someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Because I've never heard that. I mean, that
zero to hot.
Yeah.
No, that's
I think Mike in Puerto Rico.
That's a PFW in progress original.
Not only did he coin a phrase, but he coined it in a second language.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I want to coin something in Spanish.
Now you're going to get him to call, and that's going to ruin it all.
I got to think.
I'm kidding, Mike. You know I'm kidding.
I know
it's Paul
you guys
you
don't care for him, but I like Mike in Puerto Rico.
He has the feud with Paul.
Mike is great.
I still wear the t-shirt he brought me all the time.
Came over with a couple hotties. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The hotties can stay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chris says, just wanted to say that I hope the owners, like Jerry Jones, don't get their way and there is no change in the salary cap. Coming from England, brought up on soccer, where the rich teams just get richer and the top couple of teams in each country buy all the best players, thus the same group of teams win all the trophies every year. I grew very tired of it and was very happy when I found the NFL and the Patriots 10 years ago.
When the Patriots started winning every year.
Now I just hope that the NFL does not go down that route because it would totally ruin the sport in the long run. Oh, and a few funny places for you guys. Beaver Lick in Kentucky, Bell End in Wales, Bobbinhead in Australia,
wow.
Cock Alley in Carlow, UK. So there you go.
Bobbinhead is a good one.
Bobbinhead.
It's like his two best friends, Neil and
Cock
Bob.
And take.
And David
really
says,
just fixated on
come to
he
Iowa and you'll
over
see
and over
all the gas stations named Come and Go.
That's
Fred,
your
you
line,
tell
Fred.
It? You want to tell your joke?
What your joke? Viagra and Flomax joke.
You don't know whether you're coming or going.
Right.
Ta-da-nch.
Your best joke ever, by the way. I don't know who you stole it from.
I did not. I yes, made that up.
That you made up. I give that to you.
No, he stole it.
No doubt
he
made it up
mind,
on the show.
He stole it from some late night comedian or something.
He's so cynical. He really is. Nothing.
No, because like, he's the only one that can come up with anything right, creative. He didn't right. know
I,
that.
And I wish he would once.
You don't need a rim shot. That was an accurate statement.
It's like when my 11th grade English teacher, I handed in a paper, and she thought, like, how is he capable of writing this paper?
Well, that's what I would have thought. I'm not going to lie.
And she, like, called me out in front of the whole class and were like, where did you get this paper? And was, like, interrogating me.
Just means you
like,
stole it from
so
a good
be
place.
Honest.
No, I wrote it. I swear it.
You got it online, right?
I've never heard you complete a sentence.
No,
there's no question in my mind. If I was going to school now, I would be expelled. With all the stuff that they say is easily available
do,
online.
Talking the way you do on the show.
I would be expelled.
Well, not only right, for his mom. Language alone, he'd get expelled.
Plus, he's drinking Miller Lite in the classroom.
The stuff is readily
that
available.
Makes you think I didn't.
But the teachers now have programs that like can scan papers for
well,
phrases
that's
and
what
stuff
I'm saying.
And
there's
search
no doubt
for,
in my mind I would have yeah. got caught doing something stupid.
Hey, there's Steve Smith.
Let's see.
On TV, Sports
Scott
Center,
in
ESPN.
Cape Cod. Writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, Kevin, Doc, Tom, Dick, Harry, Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Chaz.
As usual, work gets in the way of listening live, but I never miss downloading the podcast to my MP3 player. Thursday's tattoo discussion reminded me of a couple of bits by some funny guys I've seen over the years. I'm a big stand-up fan. Maybe
good.
You've seen Eric.
Good.
Or maybe you've seen the guy Fred stole that joke from.
One guy says, what is it with young people these days, getting all those tattoos? I can see getting married and having a few kids, but a tattoo is so permanent.
Didn't. Kevin's not even paying attention back there. It doesn't work when we have to tell you to play the rim shot.
And Andy will like this one. My grandmother had a hummingbird tattooed on her breast when she was a young woman. Now it's a condor. The choice of bird there, I think, ruins the joke. I don't know why condor.
What should
so
it
now,
be?
A bald,
be a bald
eagle?
Eagle
or something
yeah.
like that.
Well, yeah, but a condor is a giant bird.
Yeah, it has like
stretch.
A wide wingspan.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. All right.
It's isn't like that those, what they were going for?
It's like yeah, those jokes about
I
men.
I think the word condor distracts.
Just doesn't sound funny.
It distracts.
Condor's like, not a funny word.
Now he's analyzing
no, because now as
condor,
a,
not
I'm
a funny
listening.
Word.
I'm thinking, what does a condor look like? It's not, you know.
It's not obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
But what? So what bird would you have gone with?
A bald eagle, probably.
Bald eagle or, you know.
That's not distracting.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe a pterodactyl.
He's right. That's
though.
A funny word.
Right, that's a funny
Fred.
Word.
Right. Once again.
Here we go.
You are correct.
Plus, a pterodactyl is a dinosaur, so it also implies she aged, there's
right.
age.
There's old.
Right,
old.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe yeah. you do have a career in comedy. Better than Eric's.
Eric, one of these days you have to, you have to get
angry
us 5
Eric.
Minutes on the air. 5 minutes of you.
I haven't seen Angry Eric in a while either. I'm a little.
There was a little bit of that right there. Yeah.
Would your,
I liked it.
Would
God's
your,
mad.
It wouldn't play to this audience. Or
what
any.
Audience is it?
You
are, you
are so
to?
Unbelievably what? Pompous.
Oh, it's not, we're not cerebral enough?
Yes!
Is that what it is?
You didn't
oh.
get that?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You're kidding me.
I'm talking about this audience here, these people in this
right,
room.
Fred likes the
no,
audience.
What about
that's
the listening
kind of
audience?
I don't know. We have
well,
people all over the world.
What were the topics that you talked about?
It was anything and everything. It was observational humor.
Well, that's what this show is.
No, he
is.
Was Seinfeld before Seinfeld.
Right.
No, during Seinfeld.
Seinfeld oh. stole his line.
He did steal one of my lines.
You should give us 5 minutes sometime.
There was one exact line that I used that I saw ended up in a Seinfeld episode.
He didn't really what? Steal it from you.
It was the one about when planes crash and they retrieve the black box because it's made of that indestructible
why
material.
Why
don't they just make
the
plane
box?
Out of the black box
right.
material?
Yeah.
And Seinfeld used that on an episode.
Well, there you go. That's good. That's
didn't
good
credit
stuff.
Me, though. He didn't credit me.
That didn't go over my head. Give me more.
What about your style? What was your? I mean, did you walk around with a drink? You know, some people have, like, the water bottle. And
get a pipe.
And a pipe. And a smoking jacket.
Right. Smoking jacket and an ascot.
Right.
No, I got
a jacket with leather patches on the elbows.
No, I got. I had,
he had like
a dress shirt.
He had,
tie
like,
sometimes,
a prop of a
depending
bookcase
on the
behind
night.
Him. Right. Well, leather-bound books.
A wig.
I didn't need to at that point. I had hair back then.
Okay.
All right. You know, sometimes I'd work with the mic on the stand. Sometimes I take it off.
Put it back.
Tell
know.
Me
yeah,
tell
know,
me the
depending
honest
on the
casually
situation.
Walk around.
What's right. the biggest right. laugh you ever got?
He pulled his pants. Out. He's getting.
That's not
back
bad.
Back to third grade.
That's
with
not
Andy.
Bad. All right.
Back to third grade. I gave him the fifth today. Right. Him and Jody are going to team up. Have fifth graders all over the world at Stitches.
I'm funny.
What were you going to say, Paul?
I wanted to know the answer to Fred's question. What's the biggest laugh you ever got?
I don't remember. I mean, it was pretty consistent.
There weren't too many to choose
from. I want you to answer this question honestly.
It was pretty consistent.
Wasn't that one night?
They were rolling in the aisles every line.
I killed this night. This was my best night.
So good, now he's covering the Patriots.
All right, all right. The best night I had.
And not funny
actually,
while doing
no,
it.
No, no. The best,
not enjoying it.
The best
night. Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
Okay, now that you're all done, the best night I had was actually, I think the second show I had went up, you know, there was a guy who went on, the host would go on before you, and they'd warm up each
yes.
person. He, for some reason, jammed the microphone back into the stand ridiculously hard. So I get up there and start my routine. And I wanted to start off by taking it out and walking around a little bit. So I tried taking the thing out, and I realized it's jammed. So as I'm doing my routine, I give it a pretty good don't laugh.
Jerk.
I give it a pretty good yank, and the microphone stayed in the stand, but the cord fell off. So I couldn't really attach it, and everybody just kind of gasped because they're like, like the microphone broke. So I just picked up the cord, the end of the cord, and just started talking into the cord, knowing that it wasn't transmitting anything, but people just started laughing at that because I'm talking into a cord, and I was joking around, tapping it, saying, is this thing on? And people just sort of went with that. And so I started doing my walking around the stage a little bit. And when you're on stage, they put a lot of lights on just the stage. So you can only really see the people directly in front of you.
Yeah.
So as I'm going along, the manager of the club noticed that the thing broke, and she got a backup mic and started, like, she came to the side of the stage, but I never saw her. And she, whenever I'd walk to a side, she would be over there and she would try to reach up and give me the new mic. And as soon as she would do that, I didn't even realize this, I would turn around and start walking the other way. People started laughing at that. I'd get to the other side of the room, she'd go running around, try to hand me the mic, and I'd walk away from her. So people thought I was avoiding her on purpose, but I didn't realize.
So your best night was completely unintended.
Completely unintentional, yeah.
Okay. I knew that was coming.
Tom Brady never shaved.
Tell the truth. Do you have any of your performances on tape?
No, she didn't allow us to tape them.
You're a liar.
No, we weren't allowed to. This was like the early mid-90s before like cell phone cameras. And
don't you have to see this?
I only have one photo. My dad took a photo of me when I first.
You don't have to see
performance. I have one photo of me on stage with people, and that was the only one he was able to get.
Do a performance for us.
He already said no because we're not smart enough.
I didn't say that, Paul.
To laugh when he unplugs the mic.
He used to open for Shecky Green. Nobody knows who Shecky Green is.
I certainly don't.
I've never heard that name before, ever.
I wouldn't think you would. Brooklyn Matt,
Brooklyn Matt.
Cue the douche.
Strippers gives us our Molotov cocktail origin. The name Molotov cocktail was coined by the Finns during Winter War to mock Vlashelev Mikhailov Molotov, the chairman of the Council of People's Commissars of the Soviet Union and the People's Commissar for Foreign Affairs at the time. So
it's Russian.
So they were cocktails aimed at Molotov.
Aimed at Russians.
Yes.
Okay. So they were for Molotov, not coming from.
All right.
The intended target.
I just got John and L.A.'s answer key, so good. We're ready with that.
So we're going to extend that through too. Thursday, right?
Yeah, you can send it through Thursday, and we'll announce the winner.
Some people may want to go to Comcast or Verizon and watch it if they haven't seen it yet.
Right.
To enter
so we'll announce it next Tuesday?
No, Thursday.
The end of Thursday's show.
We will announce
a winner for the
right. So
Tom
you have
Brady
no excuse. You got to go onto your DVR TV guide there and look for the show if you haven't already. DVR it, watch it.
The monkey is flailing.
Yeah, monkey's
glass,
flailing behind the glass.
What's the matter?
At you, Fred.
Monkey, what's the matter?
At you.
Oh, he had a phone call.
Picking fleas out of his head.
Oh, guess who's on the phone? The world's most interesting patrons.
Hey!
Fan, James Pettigrew. Hey, James.
Indian giver Andy. Please, after everything I've done.
Well, you can't take the food back. It's in my belly.
Well, so you're not mad at us, though. We were kind of afraid you were mad at us.
No. I've been busy. Though I've every time it's been time to phone, I've been driving somewhere and stuff like that. But I've been
listening religiously to the podcast about cricket balls and cock and balls and everything else.
Wait, what are you busy doing? I thought you were a man of leisure.
Picking up asses.
Yeah, well, sort of. The house isn't finished yet, and I was trying to get my wife interested in sports, so I took her to see a Celtics game and a Red Sox game and a Bruins game.
And they all lost?
She's obsessed with ice hockey, so she just insists on going to every single playoff game. So we've been going back and forth to Boston every other day.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah, going tonight?
So I'm going tonight. So I'll be in the stadium tonight and stuff like that. And she wants season tickets now and stuff like that. So it's slightly
nice. Wow. You couldn't possibly go to all 81 next year. That means the PFW boys.
No way am I doing that. 21, I've limited it to, so that's bad enough.
Is that going to knock into our lunch orders?
No, don't worry. Well, she said the other day, how much would it be to get a box? And I went, no way. I'm getting a box at the Garden.
So I already got a box, lady.
Exactly that. I've paid enough for that.
You don't know how much I paid. I pay every day.
Really?
Yeah, so I'll be in with gifts one day, Andy. I'm sorry. And okay. Fred, your gifts finally came in. I moved earth and mountains to get them. So I will be in one day soon to give all the gifts.
Unnecessary, yes. James. Really,
make sure you're dressed appropriately, okay?
Backtracking. When I'm offline, you're always berating me, Andy, so don't even start.
No.
Next time you come in, James, you can wear jeans.
Yes.
I want you to make sure you're dressed appropriately.
We also had another animal to add to your farm. What was the animal
A llama. The other thing that...
Alpacas.
Alpacas.
Alpacas. No, yes. I'm not getting any more animals.
Pau Gasol.
No. I've had enough. we've got mice now.
Mice. Unattended. Yeah,
Well, so now you need cats to take care of the mice.
Well, no, because we're going to pet shops and they have the mice that are going to be fed to snakes.
You buy them up?
As well.
Whoa. Your wife is rescuing pet shop mice?
Yes.
Oh,
but I put a limit on it, so there's only so many.
What is she going to do with them?
The Bruins will take her mind off that now that we're going to every game. I'm just going to have to throw money at the problem and things like that. No such luck.
Well, she has good taste because hockey in person and playoff hockey
is
the best sport there is.
She's going
to
be disappointed.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. And it was good because I thought I'd married the right woman because she went to the Celtics and she thought it was a little bit too much showy and women wearing makeup and... She didn't think it was a proper sports event. So,
I agree. Your wife has good taste.
She's going to be a little disappointed, I think, in the regular season because there's going to be a huge drop off in intensity.
Yeah,
exactly. But we sat in the right up at the top of the balconies for a few games and in the club seats for a few games. So I think she's erring on the more civilized seats because it was a couple of Philadelphia games or the few fights.
Bunch of Neanderthals. That's where Kevin sits.
That is where I sit. Me and Bertrand.
Yeah, no, so I might meet up with Kevin tonight because he may be going.
Okay, oh, nice. Great.
Well, enjoy the game.
He goes to like every game.
Thanks for calling in, James.
So does James now and his wife.
I will be round with presents soon, I promise.
No rush. We love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for lunch.
James. Thanks, James.
And the kid behind the glass thanks you for lunch, too, that we've never met and no one knows his name.
He gives a little wave.
Larry Wright is here.
and he is dressed appropriately.
I think he's overdressed, actually.
Yeah. Larry writes in about in plain sight. He says, the girl who plays Mary's sister is from here. She was born in Andover, Mass, and she's hot.
I liked her, too.
Oh, the sister?
She had the wedding dress on. Her boobs were all pushed up.
She looks pretty good. She looked
Her name is Nicole Hitz.
She was a hit.
I'd like to hit that.
It's from Andover. But Mary
has to say it with his voice raised.
Mary McCormick's from here, too, right?
I don't know.
Is
she?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that she was from
here. She's from...
Well, it would make sense.
And
well,
her brother's name is Schnitz.
I almost said something very stupid Andy-like right there.
Say it. It's funny. Go ahead. Go.
Well, they're sisters. They would think they were from the same place.
And that's why the rule happens that you're the name thing, because if there were one name person named Andy Hart in Denver and he was a pedophile on the show, people like you would assume the guy they meet at the lunch counter is a pedophile. You blur the lines.
Or I could have just said something ridiculously stupid.
Well, people blur the lines between reality and TV.
I didn't blur any line. I just said something stupid.
That's true. It happens a lot with you.
Yeah, you talk long
time
enough.
Is
you
it?
Know what I'm saying?
Well, that's my whole theory. I never will criticize people on like radio shows for saying stupid stuff. If you talk for 4 hours a day every day, you're going to say stupid
slip
stuff.
Up.
Did you listen yesterday?
He's a total stream of consciousness.
It's unbelievable.
But yesterday, Michael Hawley.
Okay, I didn't listen to any talk radio yesterday.
Was Doc basically said the trade was bad. you know, in so many words.
Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, not
bad timing. Wouldn't do it again.
In retrospect,
would do it after
been
the
better
year.
Off waiting until
I get, you know, advice on Celtics
trades. Doc Rivers.
I know.
And so, and they basically got into the discussion that they made the trade for the future. Jeff Green is for the future, all this. And Michael Holly goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know they were making the trade for the future. That's unacceptable. If they made this trade for the future, it's unacceptable. And first of all, if you didn't know that at the time, you're an idiot. But second of all, well, did you criticize the Richard Seymour trade?
Right.
I hope so, because that was only for the future, and likewise, could have cost you, I mean, it's hard to say, but could have cost you a championship. You were a team that was expected to compete for the playoffs and a championship, and they made a decision with a premier player that was just for the future, yet I don't remember him coming out and just ranting and raving that the trade was unacceptable. Right?
Right.
Oh, maybe because he wrote a book with the guy and, you know, was in the guy's back pocket. Carrying his water,
carrying
as Paul
the water.
Perillo would say. I mean, that's he went on an Andy Hart-like rant that this trade was unacceptable if it was for the future.
See,
if that's your rule, then you need to be consistent.
What
every
don't
trade
like,
that's for the future is unacceptable if it comes with a championship-caliber team.
I'm the opposite. If they traded Perkins because they got something up their sleeve for next year, that's a reason to
no,
do
they
what
traded
I
him,
well,
they traded him because they knew they couldn't re-sign him.
And the guy they got, Jeff Green, is for the future. He's not up your sleeve. You know what you have. His name is Jeff Green.
There's nothing up the sleeve. They made the trade.
Fred thinks they're getting a big man. He
That's
has this
I
like
think.
Dream.
Well, they're going to have to. But
no, but
not because of the Kendrick Perkins
trade. He thinks Doc Rivers was going to leave, but Danny said, "I'm going to get, you know, Dwight Howard or whoever this guy is." Fred thinks
that's insane.
He's got a big man up his sleeve.
They're
going to have to get somebody to play center next year, but it's not going to be because of the Kendrick Perkins trade. They were losing him after the season, regardless.
Well, they could have re-signed him.
No, they couldn't.
Well, that's what the Patriots said. They said they were going to lose Seymour after this year.
Yeah, but Michael Holly said, I don't care if you can re-sign him or not. It's unacceptable.
And to me, the correlation between doing what the Celtics did and what the Patriots did is if the Patriots were 11-0 and traded Seymour.
Right, that's the one difference. But to me, you knew the Patriots were going to be a playoff team, basically. So you took a chance that hurt your championship quest that year, just like the Celtics did. And if it's unacceptable for one, it should be unacceptable for both.
My problem with those guys is...
Will it still be unacceptable when he writes a book with Danny Ainge?
Like, did these guys who have their opinions change based on what they actually tell you? You know?
Right.
You know, let's just say for argument's sake that everything that was said was true. And Doc says, well, in retrospect, I wish we had made the trade after the season. Why should that change your opinion of the trade? You've been maintaining for the last 2 months that it was a good trade, both for short-term and long-term.
Right.
Now they tell you it was a trade that was really made for the long-term, and then you're not happy with it?
Right.
I mean, what about the last 2 months that told you it didn't help you in the short-term? I was one of those that kind of liked the trade and was proven wrong, and I told you that a long time ago. My brother yells at me every day. Still think it was a good trade. I mean, it was like literally every day he calls me to make fun of me. It's become a joke now. And I said, we're going to be yelling about this in 10 years. I just could tell.
Because you guys have so many issues.
You guys do that, right.
But why should, I mean.
And Eric and I will be waiting to talk about an issue while you're having that issue with your brother.
But why?
When you're off the phone, can we actually put out a paper?
it's amazing how much they do. It really is amazing.
We carry the paper
for
the most part.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. But anyway, I don't understand
why. We're
Mr.
and Mrs. Combine.
Why that comment by Doc Rivers should change anyone's opinion of the trade, I don't get.
It's stupid.
I don't get that. Like, shouldn't you just evaluate a trade if you're an opinion guy? You're a talk show host, so you're in the business of offering opinions, of evaluating. Why should him saying after the fact that it was a trade really more for the long term change your opinion? Obviously, it didn't work in the short term. That ship has sailed. You were 41-10.
Right.
And you ended up staggering to the finish.
Again, there are a lot of similarities with the Seymour thing. You could say that they would have gone further with Perkins, but you don't know.
Right.
You know.
Well, no, I'm completely convinced they wouldn't have gone further with Perkins.
So then, So then it was a good trade.
People are looking for. But Jeff Green hasn't helped, is the point.
No, but
that's why I've changed.
But
Jeff Green, I thought, was part of the future.
But
he's
not
that good.
But he is.
Well,
I mean,
for better or worse, he is. But
Danny
he's not
Ainge
that good.
Is right, and you're making Paul Pierce a reserve next year, and Jeff Green's a starter.
But my point
then
is
it was a pretty good trade because
he's not
just
as good
traded
as I
for a guy who's a starter.
That's the reason
maybe
why
he
I
will
think.
Be as a starter.
The problem that people around
I
here
still
want
to hear what Paul Pierce has to say about
me too.
Kendrick Perkins, the guy that everybody's remembering about Kendrick Perkins, hasn't played this year. He has been completely and totally ineffective. He's getting killed in Oklahoma City. every night.
I've watched a lot of those games.
He's absolutely getting destroyed. I'll give him credit. He held Zach Randolph to a double-double in Game 7. So, you know, they got by, but he literally everything that everybody says, and if you noticed, it's these comments are totally, you can't look at the numbers. It's always based on things that you can't see and quantify.
You can't prove or disprove.
Somehow, he would have prevented LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, two of the greatest players in the NBA, from driving to the basket.
He would have just picked up more fouls sooner, that's all.
I mean, there's no way he was going to intimidate those guys, which is, by the way, when we played LeBron in the playoffs the two times before this, and he was getting 40 a game, why wasn't he dissuading him then? But to me, it's all about Jeff Green. If Jeff Green turned out to be a cornerstone player for you in the future, it's a good trade.
But he still could.
I don't think he is.
But he might.
But
that's why I think
out.
I'm wrong.
The jury's way out.
Because he has, like Andy said, he hasn't played his role.
I thought this all came
but he's
into
not that good.
To clarity, though, like this whole big picture thing, watching the Red Sox. I don't know if you noticed they had the good luck Celtics and Bruins behind home plate.
Yeah.
But now it just says good luck Bruins. And I was like, who really thought that would be there longer than good luck Celtics?
I said it. In the beginning, I said the Bruins would go further.
You said the lockout was over, too.
Yeah, you also said there wasn't going to be a lockout.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
I always said there will be a lockout, but it won't affect.
Fred, on March 2nd, you said it's going to be taken care of tonight.
Well, that might have been after, but I said.
Am I wrong on that?
I said
you guys were in the office.
I said there'll most likely be a lockout, but
I wanted to start
a
countdown of days since you said the lockout was
going to affect anything important.
But I ran out of space in the whiteboard.
Like Nightline.
Brian in Baltimore says, what's up, guys, and Mrs. Draft? I was just thinking, since we drafted another tight end who at this point will be the odd man out, if any, and how will Aaron Hernandez fit in with this tight end core? Will he be a starter in the future, or will his injury history make him more of a Kevin Falk-like third down player for the tight ends? I'm also curious about Eric Moore and what his draft class says about him and what Belichick really thinks he can do. Belichick praised him a lot based on what he did in just a half year with the team, but what should we expect from him as a defensive end or outside linebacker in the future? Also, do you think we could give Golston a chance and pick him up as another project? I'm thinking no, but it may be worth a shot, and it would be a nice kick in the nuts to the Jets if it actually worked out. I think the pregame show on Sunday would be great. I'd much rather listen to you guys and watch those hacks on NFL Network and ESPN.
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk can blank a cocklegobber. Something. Have a good one. Anyway,
go Falk a cocklegobber.
I mean, Aaron Hernandez. I mean, if we're lucky and the Patriots are lucky, his role is exactly the same next year as it was this year.
And his role could even expand down the road as the Branch Welker eras could come to an end.
Yeah, I don't
he's
think
a slot receiver.
He's not limited to third down packages or stuff like that. I think he's a big part of the offense.
No.
I think he was last year.
And, you know, injury history.
Well, he had the surgery this past, what was it, February?
He had some nagging things throughout the season, too. And they were accentuated late in the year.
Lower leg.
I think he had a hip problem, right?
Well, that's what the surgery was for.
That's the thing that kept him out of games, right?
Right. Probably. And for which they won NFL Photo of the Year.
That's right.
I think.
And in the story about it by the newspaper, they didn't put the photo, which was absurd.
Up over this for a week and a half.
How do you not, if you do you're doing a story about a photo that got into the a Hall of Fame, you don't put the photo?
Who are you yelling at?
Who's he arguing with? I'm yelling at the newspaper. The newspaper where the woman works, the woman who took the photo works for this newspaper.
I believe it was the Merrimack Valley News.
Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
Merrimack Valley News.
Is that who it was?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was a staff photographer.
I thought we had the picture that got some notoriety.
No, we were honorable mention for In Your Face or Kick My Face or whatever.
That's the picture I was
there was
thinking.
A local.
I know nothing about this.
There's a local newspaper.
Photo. If you're doing a story about a photo, you got to show the photo.
Yeah, and it's not like they don't own the photo. It's their photographer. Their own photographer.
I agree with Eric on that. If you're running a story about an award-winning photo that you took.
The photo they showed.
1,000 words is worth a picture.
The photo they showed was of the photographer next to Robert Kraft signing the photo, but they took it from the front so you can't see the photo. It's not like they took it over the shoulder.
That's
and
a
you
nice inset.
Yeah, it's a nice inset, exactly.
All right. You done ranting?
He's right. Let him rant. Angry Eric is back. Shut up, you.
Yeah, you like that. You haven't said anything for the last hour and a half, so it's time for Andy to talk.
Well, all of a sudden, Eric sounded like an Orthodox rabbi. You're doing a story about a photo. You don't put the photo. Terry T's in New Haven, soon to be D.C. Thrilled to see that Drew made it in as a first ballot Hall of Famer now that there wasn't much doubt this would happen with Paul casting a vote every 2 minutes. A lot of great Bledsoe moments, but my personal favorite was the Monday night busted finger game versus Miami in 1998.
Cool.
I was a junior in high school and stayed up past midnight watching the game. When he hit Sean Jefferson for the game-winning score, I yelled so loudly that I woke the whole house up. The repeat performance next week versus the Bills was also great. Anyway, is there going to be any Bledsoe merchandise in the pro shop now that he is going to be a Hall of Famer? My 1995 starter jersey is looking a little sad these days.
Starter.
Do they do T-shirts for the ceremony or anything like that?
I think they do.
They should.
I might have to get one of those.
Certainly
have to
get an answer from the pro shop.
Right? If they had like a Drew Bledsoe Hall of Fame T-shirt,
you'd have to get one.
I would think they would.
I would be obligated, no?
Of course you would be.
Yeah, I should.
Obligated, a synonym for gay.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm not allowed to. Yeah, I have to do my mea culpa. Since I own a Shaq jersey, and he, you know.
You've worn it more times than he has?
Yeah, spent more time in it than he has. I can never comment on anyone buying a Danny Woodhead jersey, Teddy Bruschi jersey, or anything of the such. I've lost my right to criticize people for buying jerseys.
Yeah, while we're doing the mea culpas, we should point out, last week we were sort of explaining something on the...
We were a bit two-faced.
Why don't you guys explain that?
Eric, explain it.
What are you talking about?
The face transplants?
The face plant, as Chris Ferreira puts it.
Yeah, there were two...
That's what he called it. He calls it the face plant.
We had a photo about a guy who got a face transplant.
Right.
And we thought it was all about... One guy was from Indy, and the doctor was from Boston or something. They exchanged jerseys. Evidently, there's two different...
Face transplants.
Yeah. We didn't know that. We were corrected. I don't know all the details.
Yeah, there were two different guys, but it happened in the same week that they made the announcement.
Because there was kind of a competition between hospitals and technology and doing it.
And the people, the guys, well, the guy we saw.
Face on.
I'm glad we're taking this seriously.
The guy we all saw on the news had like a goatee and was wearing dark sunglasses to cover some, imperfections in the surgery. The picture we got was of a guy who didn't have he had a clean shaven face and his eyes looked normal, and we thought it was the same guy. And we're like, wow, we shaved already. Oh. No, it was a different patient. But
guess we're not going to take this seriously.
No, I guess not.
Anyway, we kind of explained the whole story about one person. Well, evidently there were two different people, and
we may have been kind of mixing aspects of stories.
So we took elements from both guys and made them into one. So we corrected it on the blog.
Isn't that kind of what happened?
Patriots media relations.
They took elements of two different guys and made it one.
The media relations department very wisely helped us out on that.
Patrick from Minnesota says, please, Eric, as a stand-up comedian to another, give us at least one line.
Done it before.
So one stand-up comedian
I've already
to
done
another.
It before. Who's this?
Patrick from Minnesota.
He's a stand-up comedian.
It's a big area for stand-up comics.
Is it Minnesota?
Yeah. What else they got to do?
Got a lot
fish?
Of
ice fish.
There.
Fish.
Yeah.
Give us your opening.
I've done this before, Fred.
I did that before. No, I don't think you have.
Well, I open shows differently. I didn't just have one routine for 5 minutes.
All right. Well, give us your best opening.
I don't feel like doing this.
Oh,
really.
Come on.
No.
You're an entertainer.
He is.
Entertaining?
He's the entertainer.
Brooklyn Matt says, Shane Green was a Las Vegas comedian who also did movies and television back in the day. And Eric, along with Albuquerque.
What day? What day was this?
It's, you know, back in the.
What day?
Saturday.
Tell me what day.
In the 60s.
50,
you know.
60s,
70s.
Right?
He was still around in the 70s, I think.
I wasn't.
And Eric, along with Albuquerque being an artist colony, Minneapolis.
No, Santa Fe is the artist colony.
Yeah, get it right, okay. Brooklyn Matt.
He says, Minneapolis is also known for such, although you wouldn't initially think so. And I love it when Andy and Paul call me a douche. That, along
with
Giovanni snubbing me on his draft list, gets me off. I embrace the hate. And you guys are going to be on air before games. Man, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you, Brooklyn Matt.
So that'll be good.
For the record, Eric is the one. I mean, Andy's the one who always calls you a douche. I just think that you're wrong.
Get your model friends and Donald Trump to listen to the show. We're going to need numbers to drive this pregame show.
Right. Your model,
we're going to have to do a lot of
your model
for the
friends,
show, getting people all psyched up. For
I don't mean they're like model friends. They're models who are his friends that he sleeps with over the last 20 years.
James Pettigrew writes in quickly. If Ocho does join the team, please call him Snowman Cinco in person, Fred. I was thinking, that's funny you said that. I was thinking about that the other day.
About calling him that?
Yeah, about the snowman with his
number. With his number?
Yeah.
We should put it on the back of the jersey, too. Just Snowman Cinco.
I thought he was going back to Johnson.
I thought so, too, but
well, I don't think
knows.
At this point the league would want him to, because now...
Oh, I think they would.
Well,
because now you get
if
the
new
Johnson
legally gets
jerseys.
A change, they have no choice.
No, because of all the merchandise.
No, but...
It doesn't matter.
Once that runs out, and maybe that's why they're waiting,
yeah.
Then you sell them the new... Like right. Just like when they all change their numbers. Kobe changed the number. Jordan changed the number, so they could sell jerseys.
Jim from Eastern Michigan University. Here's a prediction. Because this lockout is seemingly endless, I'm willing to bet that Andy's supposed prediction of 6-10 for the 2010 season will be closer to the truth for the number of Patriots wins this season. That being said, at the rate things are going in litigation, the season looks like it could be a bridge to 8 games or so. Yes, I'm exaggerating a bit, but this lockout is driving you guys to talking about Kendrick Perkins and the Boston Celtics. Maybe I'm just bitter because the Pistons suck. So, you know, I think we'd be talking about that anyway.
How would you feel about the season?
Cars too.
If a season was shortened and they only played, say, like 8 or 10 games, would that mean much to you?
Do I get to stay employed?
No, I'm talking about as a fan. Let me not bring that to you. Fred, you're a fan.
No. I'm the model for Pat's fans.
Would it mean
as
much to you?
If the season is short.
Like, to me, I always thought, like, Washington, as great as Washington was with Joe Gibbs, 3 Super Bowl titles, 2 of them were in strike years. To me, that always kind of lessened that accomplishment.
Yeah.
A little bit of an asterisk.
I have to be honest. When I think about Joe Gibbs winning Super Bowls, I don't think about that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think most people do.
I don't think most people do either.
Yeah.
So it's all about the rings.
The fact that they played 9 games 1 year and they would...
No, I think if you explained it to people, they would say, huh. Mm.
Yeah.
But I think in general, they just think of Joe Gibbs, Super Bowls.
Multiple. So you wouldn't care if you won the Super Bowl and they played 7 games in the regular season and they won the Super Bowl.
It's
you,
just like your
they,
schedule.
As long as they won,
you play,
who cares?
You play what they tell you to play.
Yeah. It would definitely show up, right, not mean much to me.
Well, they were
not
the best.
Not mean much.
But everyone did the same thing.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same to me.
I agree
especially,
with that.
You know,
I agree with that.
You could argue that it's even more of a challenge because maybe...
Every game means even more.
But even beyond that, teams are going to be healthier and more vibrant in January. Peyton Manning and or the you don't have a chance for as many injuries that could hurt the Steelers and the Colts and whoever your competition is. You could argue that it's more impressive. You know, there wasn't that attrition that you see in a normal season, right?
Yeah, potentially.
Not to me.
But I agree. I think it would...
He's laying the foundation, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year,
that's meaningless. Don't count that one.
No.
They still only
First
won
of
three.
All, I'm with Fred on this. I don't, and I never have thought they're gonna miss games. I don't. I think this is a lot of talk about something that's not gonna happen. I think they will play. I think they will play.
Possibility.
Too many people with strong NFL ties are now saying.
I think they will play 16 games. It might not start on September 11th, but I think they will play 16 games.
If they
you
start
buy
in November,
into that,
not
by the way.
What?
There's this like groundswell of that it would be a slap in the face to fans if they don't play on September 11th, the 10th anniversary.
No.
I don't think it's any bigger slap on September 11th as opposed to September 10th.
Right.
I'm just asking. Why are you yelling at me?
If
anything, they shouldn't do anything on September 11th if you really want to honor the day. You know?
I'm just saying it's been out there. A lot of people. I think Teddy Bruschi brought it up.
Yeah.
In one of his. Have you been reading those, by the way?
His blogs from
his blogs
are
very entertaining. Did you see the wounded warrior? She lost her eye, and she said, "It's all fun and games till somebody loses an eye." And he quoted her to say that.
Kevin,
that's a woman I can. That's my kind of girl.
Strippers quotes Kevin Mowway. I guess he tweeted out. He said on Sirius NFL Radio.
What?
Jerry Jones is tired of a piggybacking Mike Brown. They don't say that to the public, but it's said behind closed doors.
See, that's the problem.
That's what we were talking about
Get
earlier.
The 32 on the same page before you pass the page over to the players.
And that's why I don't see any
I also
bending
find it,
or, how did you put it, conciliation?
Right.
I don't see
I also find it curious that at each of the mediation sessions, there have been different groups of owners that have gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're rotating. One
constant, I believe.
Jerry Richardson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hard line who's calling boy.
And he's doing it for all of the other, you know, the Wayne Weavers and Ralph Wilsons and Mike Browns. He's playing
the badass.
I'll be bad cop.
Like, I would feel better about it if Robert were in all the negotiations.
Me too.
Even Jerry.
I call him Mr. Kraft.
You know what I mean? The fact that there isn't a consistent core group? Like, why isn't the executive committee going each time?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PSW in Progress.
He lost interest. He just wanted to end the show there.
Thanks for listening. Remember, get us your best guesses to the 43 references, movies, and PFW in plain sight. Watch it on your DVR if you have it. And then on Thursday at the end of the show, we'll announce the winner. Thanks for listening.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.